about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Folks, please listen up. We have some very important business to discuss in the conference room. If everyone can please head in there now, chop chop. Including you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Whoa! Smells like some vomit took a dump in here. What happened?
Kevin! Don't be such a f***ing chump!
Then you became a morning shock jock and created the sport Taint Ball?
Yeah.
I've never felt so good in my life! It feels so good! It feels so good to be alive!
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
And now...
Can I talk? Can I say words?
Hey, Chad.
Sup?
Our feature presentation.
Who says, can I say words?
Just Chad.
It's a weird thing to say.
I know. Well, Chad's a weird dude, dude.
Can I say words? Yes, you can, Chad.
Who's Chad?
From The Bachelorette.
It's The Bachelorette.
Oh.
Yeah.
Chad. The guy that wanted to fight everybody.
Don't care.
America's no. Favorite bachelor,
nope.
Chad.
Oh, is he the new bachelor?
No, he was eliminated a few weeks ago. We talk about this every week on the Bachelorette Report.
I thought you had an announcement that he was the new Bachelor.
No.
You just said America's favorite Bachelor.
Right, because he's the person that everybody talked about who was a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Doesn't make him the Bachelor.
He's not the Bachelor, capital B.
Use words.
Can I use words?
Say words?
Can I say words? Although I do understand, and we'll talk to the P about this later, I do understand that he is on BIP. He's going to be one of the contestants on The Bachelor in Paradise that starts tonight.
That is true.
So we haven't gotten that. We haven't heard the last of Chad.
I watched a decent amount of that show last night.
Yeah?
What'd you think? I've never seen it.
That is ass.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's not great?
No, I mean, people probably love it for the same reason people hate it.
Yeah.
Which is that it's ass.
Mm-hmm. I watched 2 minutes.
And was 2 minutes too much?
It was just the guys in their suits, and they were so tight, and I couldn't stop thinking about how squished their junk must be.
Yeah.
And it bothered me.
These tight suits are the way to go, apparently, right now on television.
It's like they said, please make them tighter.
Everyone needs to look like Hardwick or Eddie Redmayne or one of those guys who just wears those tiny little Pee Wee Herman suits now.
I don't love it. I'm not going to lie.
I don't love it either. And I definitely couldn't pull it off.
Oh, no.
Well, you're too...
I'm too big.
Immense of a man.
Yeah.
Not,
I couldn't pull it off. In every possible way.
Kevin, if you could stop looking at me like that, that'd be great.
You're the one that said it.
I know. And I immediately regretted it. Oh.
I don't get the Pee Wee suits either. I don't get those at all. But anyway, well, listen, we got a lot of show to get to, including lots on The Bachelorette, because the P's coming in, and we'll break down whatever happened last night, whichever dude she chose. I don't know. Here's a story that I think you guys will find interesting. His name is Alexander Cirque, 41 years old. He just fell in love, guys. That's all that happened here. He just met a lady online and fell in love and wanted to be with her.
Okay.
I don't love this setup.
Nope.
Why are you hating him?
Well, we're not already.
He lives in Holland, and he had himself an online girlfriend. Zhang is her name, 26 years old. She lives in China. Mm-hmm. And he thought, hey, you know, a couple months in, things are hot and heavy. I'm going to go out and visit my lady.
Mistake.
So, really? You should never get together in person if you have an online friendship?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like a surprise, no?
He told her he was going to be there. He told her he was on the way.
That's good.
So, again, they've been dating 2 months. He decided to visit her in China, and he shows up at the airport, and she's not there.
Uh-oh.
No one had come to meet him. Well, he waited for her. He started texting her, and, well, she'll be here, so I'm just going to sit right down here in this chair at the airport in Hunan, and I'm just going to wait. Well, she didn't exactly swoop in to pick him up the first day.
The first day?
So then he thought, well, you know what? She's probably busy, but it's okay. I'm here, so I'm going to wait again.
Why would he wait a second day?
And then the second day went by, and then a week. And then at the end of 10 days,
what?
He was eventually taken to the hospital where he was suffering from physical exhaustion.
Okay.
From waiting?
from just being, and by the way, this poor guy, the article says he's 41.
Poor guy, nothing.
Right? Come on.
That guy stays the second day. That's on him.
Yeah.
Rest of the sentence. The poor guy. Article says he's 41. He looks 70. Oh. He looks like a bad, like Steve Buscemi, who's been through a bender, is what he looks like.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's rough. So 10 days he's in the airport, and his story eventually becomes news, and the TV stations contact Ms. Zhang, and she said, oh, I thought he was kidding. I didn't know he was really going to come visit. Yes, we had advanced our romantic relationship. Is that am I hearing?
Yes, that's your fire alarm.
I got to find that, I guess.
Not cool.
Not cool at all. So she said, oh, I thought he was joking. One day he sent me a photo of air tickets abruptly, and I thought it was a joke. I didn't think he was really coming. Now, I don't understand. That doesn't seem plausible to me, because if somebody sends you a photo of airline tickets, you don't fake those, right? It's pretty obvious
you're
coming.
She did a drive-by, didn't she?
I bet you that's what
she
happened.
She said, wait for me out by the curb.
Oh, no, really?
And then she drove by and she went, 41, but he looks 71. I'm going to keep on going.
Oh, that's
Allie, I
got to
send you this picture. You won't believe what he looks like at 31. So, yeah, that's one theory in China, is that it was a drive-by. Another theory is just that it was never a relationship, and she's got 100 guys just like this all over the world, and she's probably just scamming, trying to get them to send money or jewels or presents or whatever,
yep,
you know,
jewels.
Like the ladies do.
A lot of times I'm like, hey, will you send me a bauble?
Right, exactly.
I need some jewels.
Yes.
But it's become
an emerald.
It's become a real talking point in China, because people are saying it makes their country look bad. What does it say about Chinese integrity, they're asking?
Oh, no, she's going to be killed.
So 10 days he's trying to get a hold of her, by the way. Her answer is that her phone was off. Okay, now I just –
oh, my God.
I'm not saying I don't believe her. I'm just saying her phone wasn't off.
Look, we know what this is. She was just ghosting him. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that she was not answering her phone, or she turned it off on purpose.
Right.
Yes.
Why is that bastard still there?
Why is he there more than a day? Right. At least I can understand staying the first day just to make sure you get in touch with her. But at some point when she's not answering.
Right. If she's not answering, then how long do you stay?
Right. When does pride
you get on the first
in.
Flight back?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ms. Zhang said that she would be keen to meet the man, saying she's still interested in maintaining their relationship, and she's just sorry it didn't work out this time. So there you go. That's the sad, sad story.
That's the worst.
Of Alexander Sirk.
She's just sorry it didn't work out.
Yes.
You know, my phone.
Unfortunately,
I've been having phone trouble. How many times have people said that, where it's been a lie?
Yeah. All?
Most.
All.
Most.
Right.
But 10 days in the airport.
I mean,
dude.
That's
on him.
That's on him.
That's on him. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Not here, not ever.
Bean talked about the Bachelorette finale. It was last night. Petros Papadakis joins us in studio today.
Yeehaw.
We're going to talk Yasiel Puig.
Oh,
wow.
By the way, how long has it been since you got fired in a bad way? Because it may be time to revisit that topic after he receives a text yesterday that says, hey, you know the people who are coming to the ballpark to play baseball? You're not one of them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's rough. That's a rough way to find out you lost your job.
What's going on with the Olympics in Brazil? Seems like there's nothing but negative stories.
Yeah, no good.
Well, you take a gulp of water and you will get sick.
Yeah, well, no one likes poo water.
Right? So
agreed.
If you're a swimmer, you know, if that's your sport, you got troubles.
Dave Holmes is in studio today. He wrote a book called Party of One. He was an MTV VJ, by the way, back in the 90s. Sean Mother effin' Hattisey.
Yeah.
Coming to the studio talking Animal Kingdom.
Love.
Show's so good. And we've got your tickets to see Radiohead at the Shrine. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It is Tuesday morning. Allie's in for Ralph. Another day for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
Well, I don't know if you had heard, but Joe Rogan had contemplated leaving the UFC this year. His contract was coming to an end, wasn't quite sure what he was going to do. Well, he has decided he will stay with the UFC. He'll still be calling fights, just not as many of them. He is only going to do North American pay-per-view fights. So no more Fox shows, no more international traveling. He said on his podcast that it was just wrecking his body. You know, flying all the way across the world. Then he'd come back. He'd have
and
like,
there are so many fights now.
So many fights. Plus, he does comedy all around the world. Then he does his podcast. He had zero time for his own life. So I think this will be good for Joe. Who's with me?
I do too, but he's the best
he's
by
so
far.
Good.
He's the best.
He's
Chip
so
and I
good.
Were talking about that this morning about how incredible, how much he sees, how mm-hmm. he's able to analyze it, how he's able to predict what's going to happen next,
yeah.
all at the same time that he's explaining it to the home viewer.
Yeah.
He's just tremendous.
And if only he sounded like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Had a little passion for it.
Right.
So that's good news, though, for fight fans.
So now he has more time to sleep in a refrigerator or whatever it is he does. What's that thing, he does?
Cryotherapy?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he's sleeping in a refrigerator.
Kind
I think
of,
it's like
how it works.
30 seconds or
I
so.
Didn't know the details.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good stuff. Well, it's a big week for Jared Leto. Of course, Suicide Squad opens on Friday. He's the Joker. And yesterday, his band, 30 Seconds to Mars, hinted that new music is on the way. There's a 40-second clip on Instagram with the hashtag Mars is coming. And you see the guys in the band in the studio hanging out in the desert. So that's big.
Hmm. That's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, slow down, Jared. Kind of making us all look bad, isn't it? And here's my favorite news of the year. The Killers. They released their second album, Sam's Town, 10 years ago. And the guys want to celebrate.
Yeah.
With us.
Yes.
The people.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2006 album is going to be remastered and re-released as a 2-LP vinyl set with two bonus tracks, a demo of Peace of Mind and the Pet Shop Boys remix of Read My Mind. And they're going to do a 2-day concert event in their hometown of Las Vegas on September 30th and October 1st at, fittingly, Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall. Who's in? Road trip.
Sounds like you're going to Las Vegas.
Oh, you have no idea.
Sounds fun, although Sam's Town.
Yeah,
well,
but
it's the title of the
survive
album.
It for a couple of hours to see the Killers.
I mean, you're not
dump.
Staying there.
It's a dump.
Well, it's
a dump.
Okay, but you're not staying there.
Right. No.
Right?
Of course, don't be ridiculous.
You're staying at Excalibur.
I need some jousting.
Class. You do love jousting when you're stays in Vegas.
I'm just full-time Treasure Island when I go.
Sure.
That's
are
the
you?
Place I'll stay.
Got
yeah.
it.
Sure.
Got it. I don't know if you saw this news yesterday. I thought it was fake, but it's not. Disney is moving full speed ahead with the reimagining of the movie Splash. Do you remember Splash, Kevin?
Not really.
That was the 1984 sleeper hit film that launched the stars Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah. Remember, Daryl Hannah was a mermaid.
She was a mermaid,
Tom Hanks,
that's right.
Founder.
Yeah.
Also really launched Imagine Partners Ron Howard and Brian Grazer. But here's where it gets weird. It's being developed for Channing Tatum to take the role that Hannah played. So he'll be a merman.
Okay.
And Jillian Bell will be in the role that Tom Hanks played. What? The
okay.
Okay. I'm in. I'm not going to lie.
I think
I'm in. I'm totally in.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm going to say something that may make me sound even dumber than usual, but
sure.
I don't know that that I've seen many representations of mermen
no.
in books or movies or on TV. It seems like if you're half person, half fish, it seems like you're almost always a woman.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
All right.
Mermen so, must just be bum. They can't get any publicity.
Right?
Hey, I'm a dude. I'm half fish.
Yeah.
What does it take?
They've been holding him down for too long.
Right.
I say yay, merman. It's time for some representation.
Okay.
I have a merman
sure.
Christmas ornament.
Do you really?
It's this totally buff dude and then just a mermaid bottom. Oh, is no? Somebody's calling?
Right.
No time for that story. The pitch was hatched by Jillian Bell, who, again, will be playing the role of Tom Hanks's character. And she worked, of course, with Channing Tatum in 22 Jump Street. So they've got a good rapport.
All right.
Like each other. I like it.
I think I'm in.
I'm totally in.
Really? She's definitely a legend.
Right.
She is a legend. I remember she was on this show, and I was sick that day, and I was so bummed because she came in.
Okay.
It's a great
remember?
Story.
It's a great story.
It's a great story.
Remember
tremendous
that story,
story
and how sad I was?
Don't at all. Let's
Shut
think
up,
about
Chip.
How great that story is.
Do you want to take a minute?
She okay. was on the show,
she was
yep.
on the show.
I missed
she
that day.
Certainly was.
Okay.
I wasn't here. I listened to it because I was so sad I missed it. But I love Jillian Bell.
Okay.
So I thought, I'm going to listen Because, boy, am I sad I'm not there.
That's got the same ending as when she told it last time.
Sure did.
Has anyone
I added a few more words.
Bought the movie rights to that, or do you think that's still available if somebody listening wants to option it?
I mean, I'm working through a lot of offers, Bean.
Okay.
I just think you're terrific.
So sorry. All these stars were born today, August the 2nd.
Wait, you weren't here?
I wasn't. But but she was, and I listened to it. It was good.
I got it now.
Okay.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Okay. Actress Mary Louise Parker, 52. Director Kevin Smith is 46. Sam Worthington is 40. Actor Edward Furlong is 39, and UFC fighter Nick Diaz is 33. I'll have more exciting stories.
Oh, it's going to be so great.
In just a bit. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Week. Like
Bishop on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 22 minutes after 6.
I like it.
Okay.
That's all.
Bean likes it.
I like it.
Hey, actor Sean Hattis, he joins us later this morning from Animal Kingdom on TNT. Only what, Allie? Two episodes left?
I believe so.
Two.
Getting close. Also, Petros Papadakis next hour with the final Bachelorette report. There are lots of ways to get in touch with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We thank you so much for reaching out via social media on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on the Instagram or on the Twitter or on the Snapchat. We're there, all those places. But you can also old school it and call and leave a message on our answering machine. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. It's 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message on any topic. Let's start with that. Wondering where that was. Let's start with this call.
Kevin, please never stop playing that weird erotic music in the background. It's my favorite.
Same.
Sometimes Kevin feels like he has to make a non-sexy thing sexy, and this is how he does it.
Sometimes.
Not. Right. What are you talking about, B? You don't know anything, man.
We'll be talking about, you know, Allie and I'll be having a serious conversation about chemotherapy or something, and Kevin will be like, ooh, it's gonna make you sexy.
So sexy with your bald head.
That's a terrible example.
It's
well,
the worst
I'm just saying, that, stop doing it.
That's a terrible example.
Well, then stop trying to make unsexy things sexy.
But I'm not playing it behind people who have chemotherapy.
Just stop it.
All right, let's talk about Allie, who decided that it was too hot to turn on her air conditioning. Is that right?
I think you're misleading the jury. Yeah. It was too hot at one point during the day. Why would you turn it on when it's 105 out? Why wouldn't you wait a few hours until it's dark, it's cooled down, therefore you're using less energy and you'll cool it down quicker?
Hey, Allie, so you don't use your AC for the summer. I get it, just to save the environment and whatnot. You know, just thinking you're hot, sweaty, saving energy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Daddy like you.
Okay. Yes. I mean.
Here we go again.
I don't think this music.
By the way, the answer to the question is why turn it on when it's 105, Allie, is because it's 105.
It's because it's what counteracts 105.
Right. Well, that day I had fallen asleep. Listen, I'm not good.
Okay. All right.
I came in like a Pokeball. I just wanted to catch them all.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure.
I see what he did there.
Yeah. Did we need it?
I mean, I get it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, guys. This is Deputy Ian. I just want to let you know that I'm way smarter than you guys and also way braver and way cooler and also very smart. And if you didn't notice, I'm very intelligent and super smart. And you're arrested.
All right. That guy's mocking the awful Ian that we talked to on the show. That's not the real Ian, right?
Correct.
Okay.
No, I assume it isn't. We have a weird thing on this station where Beer Mug does commercials with the Hulkster.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
That never stops being weird.
Let me tell you something, Beer Mug, dude. Do you want to live forever, brother? Well, you better say your prayers, Jack, because the Hulkster's coming after you, Beer Mug. Because what you gonna do when the largest arms run wild on you, Beer Mug? Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay.
Huh.
All right.
All right, Steve, this is your time. It's your time to shine. Now, I want you to go in there
And when they give you the signal, hit it. All right? Hit it like you never hit it before. Now get in there!
Little pep talk for Steve.
Like points for delivery.
Right?
We had Psychic on the show recently. Who
yeah.
also occasionally tells jokes on the side.
So you guys finally caught up to me and are fed up with Sam the Armenian Comedian. Thank God you guys no longer find him funny. Thank God no more Armenian Comedian. Thank God.
Okay, now are we all on board finally, Kevin?
I have been on board since I listened.
I've been on board.
Jeez. Yeah.
Why do you do
How
that?
Do you not like that?
Because I heard it, and it's awful, and it's terrible, and it's bad,
Maybe
and it's not good.
You know what? I think you weren't listening. I feel like if you listen, you would get it.
Yeah.
See?
What?
Is he trying to speak Mandarin or something? What's he doing?
No!
No? Not at all.
Okay.
You're terrible.
We don't have a lot of Bob Hope impressions.
I have been missing that in
my
life.
Bob Hope.
Now, he was a very popular comedian and actor and entertainer for most of the 20th century, but he's been dead a few years, so therefore, he doesn't get much play anymore.
Hey there, folks. This is Bob Hope calling. Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you there, Kevin and Mark, I was going to see Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium. I said to myself, hey, GNR is still playing. It's 1988 all over again, which means all my favorite Kevin and Bean DJs are back. Hey, how about that Ralph the New Guy? Is he still doing those voices, that Lorch, that amazing alien, you know, Donald Trump getting rid of the aliens there or something? Miss Cleo, ladies and gentlemen, Paper Stains, the only recorded incident of that song. I got it on an 8-track, listen to it all the time, you know. Yeah. And how about that King of Mexico at Staples Center breaking the TV record there, you know? Yeah, he's watching more Gilligan's Island than I've ever seen. And what the hell is TiVo? Hey, guys, when the hell's Mr. Bertram coming on? I need some woodshop tips, you know? Yeah, I'm building myself a mausoleum. Vote Gore!
Okay. That was a little bit more Norm MacDonald than it was Bob Hope. But I appreciate the effort.
Bean is moving, and so we are subjected to all kinds of great construction noise from Bean's End.
Hey, I just had one really important thing to say to you guys, and I just wanted you to know that I don't think anybody can really hear the vacuum that Bean has going. It's no problem. Just keep doing what you're doing. Good work, guys. All right. See ya.
They're knocking down a wall today downstairs in my house, by the way, so.
There are men in my house, and the whole world hears them working.
A little bit.
But I never told them to leave, because I'm being. If this home were my own, I would make them come back later. But I didn't ask that at all, because I'm Bean.
Yeah, Bean on that day forgot the time change, and so he told him not to come before 9:50.
Yeah.
But he meant 11:50. But he said 9:50.
That was my bad. Yeah. That one's on you.
Okay.
That one's on you. That's mine, yeah.
323-520-AFRO. You could call anytime. Right?
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 Right.
This happens every 2 years when the Olympics come around. I go about this far out, 3-4 days out, I go, I don't care. I really, yeah. I'm not interested. I don't care. All right, maybe I'll watch a little bit. Oh, wait a minute. This is pretty cool. Hey, what about that guy? And then you totally get sucked in. They do such a great job of telling you the stories. And then the next thing you know, it's USA, USA, and then you're glued. Then you can watch nothing else but the Olympics. But I will tell you, this year, and I know every year they say, oh, this country's really going to have trouble. They're sure not ready for the Olympics.
Right.
I think Rio is in trouble. I think Rio's having real problems. Listen to some of the things that are going on in Brazil right now, days before the Olympics kickoff.
Is Rio ready for the games?
The main ramp of Rio's Olympic sailing venue partially collapsed on Sunday after bad weather and high tides hit the coast over the weekend.
All right.
Although no one was injured and organizers have tried to assure the public event will not be affected, it raises further doubts about Rio's construction standards, let alone its readiness for the Games. The bad weather also hit Copacabana Beach, flooding TV studios near the volleyball arena.
Look here. These types of crashing waves, they always happen here. They've picked the worst place they could.
The athletes' village has also come under recent criticism, with the Australian team refusing to move into their accommodations last week, describing blocked toilets, leaking pipes, and exposed wiring.
Now that seems bad, right?
That doesn't seem ideal.
The team has since moved in, but perhaps they might have been better off staying away.
Now here's the best part.
Two laptops and some team shirts were stolen while the team was being evacuated due to a fire in the basement.
Hold.
To make matters worse, the team discovered that their fire alarms had been turned off.
Oh my god!
So their fire alarms had been turned off, then there was a fire, then they got evacuated, then they got robbed.
Unreal.
Due to construction next door. Rio's health authorities are also having to fend off concerns about the Zika virus, and they're giving assurances that there is minimal risk with no signs that the disease is spreading. They've also had to fend off questions about the water quality at water sports events.
Lots of athletes and lots of people have already been using these areas for training and leisure over the last year. We have not registered one single health case related to the waters.
By the way, the water is, I read one report, 5 times worse than Santa Monica when they close it because of poo.
Right.
Just on a normal day.
5 times worse.
Yeah, you get some of your water, you get sick. Right.
Exactly. Going on against a backdrop of political unrest.
Oh.
Members of the Brazilian public took to the streets in Rio on Sunday to protest against government corruption and advocate for the impeachment of suspended President Dilma Rousseff.
Okay, so they have a president who's suspended and they want to get him impeached?
And that doesn't even cover the bodies that are washing up on the shore by where they play volleyball. The bodies!
All right, believe it or not, we have a Brazilian correspondent, an actual Kevin and Bean listener that we last spoke to ahead of Kevin's visit to that country for the World Cup in 2014, and he is Luiz Octavio Feldens, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. I'm sure I massacred your name, Luiz, and I apologize for that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Kevin, Bean, and Ali McKay. But I'm sorry, but what do I have to say after all this just played out about Brazil? The only thing I have to do is just shame myself and say I'm sorry and you know, run for the hills.
Well, run for the hills is not what... I'll tell you what... What we were looking for is maybe,
assurance.
They're exaggerating, you know, stuff like this happens everywhere. No, nothing.
He's running for the hills.
He's running for the hills. Is it all true?
Those are all actual news, and there is some more news coming around every other day. And to be honest, the majority of the country is not in favor of the Olympics.
Good.
Of course, it's a great party. Every 4 years when it comes on, it's a great party. All the countries have a little bit trouble to get ready for the Olympics. But in Brazil, of course, it seems to be a little bit worse. I think a good analogy you can do this year in Brazil is when your big boss is coming to have dinner at your house and you are a low-level employee, then you try to make your humble and poor house a little bit better for your boss. And
right.
This is what's going on.
Gotcha.
Poor country, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of money, of course, but that money goes to the wrong pockets and to the wrong people. But we are trying to do our best. The Olympics is going to happen. Of course, it's coming. Of course, everything is not ready yet. They're having trouble with security to make the X-ray scans work properly at the arenas, because they're so smart. They bought the X-ray equipment, but they didn't hire people to operate the equipment or to train them.
Luis, you're telling us that not only are all those reports true, but it's worse.
There's more, yeah. If you look for news, there's always more, yeah. Last night, the Australian team came to the Olympic Villa, and their basketball team were in trouble because they do not fit at the beds, of course,
because they're, you know, 6'5", or you know.
The beds were too small for the basketball team.
Of course, yeah. Andrew Bogut was pissing him on him because it's not he had to sleep standing up or something.
Oh. Well, let me ask you, Luis. Let me ask you this question: is this is what you're seeing from the government and from the private organizations that are trying to prepare your country for the Olympics? Is that consistent with the way business is done in Brazil? Are there frequently problems like this where they don't do things like, I don't know, pay attention to not having raw sewage in the water? Are these persistent problems?
It is, yeah, it is. And, yeah, for example, the raw sewage in the water is just getting worse year after year. And they promised they would clean it up, the bay for the Olympics, but it wasn't something which was possible to clean it up in 4 years. It would be a long, you know, 10, 12-year process to get the water properly clean. And, you know, what can they do? They tried to clean it up. They said they were doing. They spent, you know, $4-5 billion to do that, and nothing changed.
That's such a surprise to me, because not only for the health of the citizens of Brazil, but Brazil is a vacation destination for people all over the world. You would think that they would, if nothing else, they would recognize that it's going to cost them a lot of money to run things the way they run them.
Yeah, there is a lot of natural beauty. That's why a lot of tourists come, especially to Rio. I do not live in Rio, but you know, I know Rio. It is a beautiful place. It could be even better if better managed, if better ran as a place. But you know, thanks to the natural beauty, the Rio is still the Rio that everybody loves to visit. But you know, it could be better.
All right, Luis, let me ask you a question, because when I came down there in 2014 for the World Cup, they seemed to sort of keep everybody away from all the bad stuff. They just sort of cordoned off all the bad areas, and they just sort of made you walk in a straight line and go to your venue
exactly,
and come back.
Exactly.
It was just as bad then, or has it gotten worse?
No, it is the same thing. Yeah,
same thing.
I bet during the Olympics is going to be the same deal. You know, a lot of tarp, is that correct? A correct word to say?
Yeah.
A lot of build walls to you know, to keep you away from the wrong spot. And as bad as this sounds, they sort of have a secret deal with you know, drug dealers and the crime communities in the favelas, where they won't mess it up during the Olympics. The same way they did not mess it up during the World Cup, they did not mess it up during the Earth Summit in 1992, which was the first big event in Brazil.
Right.
You know, they have a deal, or the police have a deal with the drug dealers. You know, you stay in your place and do not run around, across the tourist areas with your AK-47s riding the motorcycles.
Okay, well, that's nice. All right. Listen, Luis, we're almost out of time. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on with us, and also that you continue to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. It means a lot to us. So here's what we're going to do for you. We have a guy who I think is going to be able to fix all your problems. He's going to make America – nope, forget that. Make Brazil great
Donald
again.
Trump.
You can have –
yeah, we're going to send you Donald Trump.
He'll fix all
Thank
that.
You.
He can fix all those problems. He will clean that place up. Brazil's never going to be greater than it is once Donald Trump is your new president. Take him from us. That's what I'm saying.
I'm really afraid of Donald Trump, because if Donald Trump wins, there's a good chance I won't be able to get my visa renewed. I won't be able to do business with the agency I work with in San Francisco again, because he does not like foreign people. He does not like Latin people. And, you know, I think Donald Trump is my worst enemy at this point.
Well, he's going to be your new president, so you're going to have a lot to discuss with him. All right, Luis, listen, we may check back in with you before the end of the Olympic Games, okay, if that's okay with you, sir.
Can I give you just one piece of good news?
Sure, of course.
If you are coming from the U.S. to the Olympics, or you know, from the Europe or England, if you have, you know, euro or U.S. dollars or pounds to spend here, the food and the drinks at the arenas won't be that expensive. You know, for example, a glass of beer is $3. A hot dog is $3.50.
a piece of pizza is $4. So you have one good news at least.
Just don't drink the water.
Just don't drink the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, keep it beer and hot dog, it will be fine.
That's great advice, Lewis. All right, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
The beach with open wounds.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Radiohead at the Shrine. We'll tell you how to win your tickets right after Ally McKay takes a look at the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman here on our Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm not sure how I missed this Draymond Green situation, but Kevin, you were paying very close attention.
Well, I think I was.
What happened?
Here's what I heard. Snapchat penis.
What?
Yeah. And then immediately said, hacked. To let everybody know, hey, that wasn't me. Somebody hacked my account and put that up.
Okay.
And then he followed that up pretty quickly with, sorry, wrong button. Now, for Snapchat, I mean, you have to take the picture.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to determine where it goes if you're sending it to somebody or to your story. And then it's three steps.
So there's no way.
I don't think there's any way to take one photo with one push thumb. I don't think it's possible to send out a Snapchat.
We should also mention who Draymond Green is, by the way, for folks who don't follow sports.
Yes.
He plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. So anyway, that was what happened. He turned on hacked really quickly.
Really quick.
Just gave it up right away. Like, oh, okay, everybody, stop. Right.
That's a reflex action to try to get out of trouble.
Right, exactly.
Sure. Well, apparently, somebody was so impressed with what they saw. Steve Hirsch, who is Vivid Entertainment's head honcho, he fired off a letter to Draymond Green saying that he saw the dong selfie and he believes it's the perfect centerpiece for a new celeb sex tape. Here's the deal. We will give you $100,000 to star in a porn called Drayzilla. You call all the shots, you pick your co-stars, and set up the scene however you want. But here's the thing. The guy makes, I looked it up, he makes upwards of $15 million a year. $100,000?
Yeah.
Come on, Steve.
He drops that on dinner.
Come on.
That's Vivid just trying to get their name in the news again.
Absolutely.
I think,
and because, well done.
Yeah.
No use, Robert. It's too thick.
Oh.
No.
I haven't seen the picture, but is there any way to see it after apparently he took it down, it's deleted, there's no way to look at it?
I mean, Snapchat, you can screen cap it. So anybody that screen capped it still has that picture.
Did you?
No.
Did you blow it up to poster size and it's hanging in your office, Kevin?
No, I did not.
That's all right. No. Okay.
Something to aspire to.
No.
I'm just saying. It would have been nice if you could have shared.
Sort of pathetic.
With the class. I don't know if you heard about this. Our new Miss Teen USA.
No.
Carly Hay.
This woman. Don't get me started on this woman.
She is, She's
a piece of work.
She's awful.
Wow. She won the title Saturday in Las Vegas, and afterward, people were scrolling through her social media accounts. And they dug up posts from Twitter from 2013 and 2014 where she uses the N-word quite a bit, with her friends, of course, and just saying things like, I know I'm a comedian, N-word. Don't threaten me. I will wrap your house, N-word. And I don't have your number, N-word. So it's just, part of her vocabulary, something she does.
She's a white teenager from Texas, by the way.
Yeah. Her Twitter is now private, and she claims she's not the person that she used to be. The Miss Universe organization, which owns Miss Teen USA, said that although the language she used was unacceptable at any age and no way reflects the values of the Miss Universe organization, she will keep her crown. As Carly stated, she was in a different place in her life and made a serious mistake she regrets and for which she sincerely apologizes. Who? If you're going up for something like a Miss Teen USA, don't you have people on your team that will check your social media, check things, make sure there's nothing damaging?
It seems like you would at least know that you're going to draw some attention to that account. So maybe go through it and check it. I don't know. That's weird.
And really, what did she grow from in the last couple of years? She's like 16.
Right.
Give me a break, Carly.
There was a lot of controversy about that pageant in general because all five of the finalists for Miss Teen USA looked like they were
on
twins.
Fox News Channel?
Yeah, they were all sisters.
Yeah.
They were all the
very
same
white
bodies.
Very blonde.
Yep, same blonde hairdo and everything. Is like, what is this?
Yeah. Good times. beauty pageants, right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Everybody?
They all kind of look like you, Allie, now that I think about it.
Well, they sound delightful. All of these stars were born today, August the 2nd. Actress Mary Louise Parker is 52. Director Kevin Smith, 46. Actor Edward Furlong, 39. UFC fighter Nick Diaz is 33. And actor Sam Worthington is 40. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I'm very excited for the Radiohead game we're going to play next. It's going to be the first time we've ever tried this, but we're looking for you if you would like to be a contestant at 1-800-520-1067. Radiohead is playing the Shrine this Thursday and also next Monday. We're giving away tickets right now. Call us. Your chance to win right after this on K-Rock. Los Angeles is one of the lucky cities that gets a Radiohead show, two of them, in fact. At the Shrine on Thursday and Monday, we're giving away tickets here on K-Rock at 1-800-520-1067. You know, Ralph Garman is usually the guy who does voices for us.
Right.
But he's on vacation this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sweating that for a minute, and then I realized that we had Allie, the woman of a million voices, here in the studio.
Right.
Oh, no.
We found out that there is no celebrity voice that she can't do. And her specialty are British celebrities.
Thank you.
And that's why we present for you The Wheel, O Female British Celebrities.
It's The Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities. The Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities. It's The Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities. Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities.
So we got a wheel. It's an actual wheel. Let's hear a little bit of that, please, Kevin. Built by Adam Carolla back in the 90s, and we put names of female British celebrities on the wheel. We spin the wheel, and then whatever one it lands on, Ali is going to read Radiohead lyrics in that celebrity's voice, identical to what that celebrity sounds like, by the way.
Right.
You're going to think these people are all in the room.
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny.
Basically, for you, the contestant, all you have to do is recognize the lyrics and tell us what the song title is from Radiohead.
Exactly. You don't have to judge how good or how awesome Ali's celebrity impression is.
I mean,
you
it's going to be awesome. Let's just take
you just
that
have
out
to name the Radiohead song, and if you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to see him at the Shrine. Who's our first contestant?
First up is Chris in Ontario. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Welcome to the Wheel of Female British Celebrities, and you get Adele.
Adele.
She's going to read your lyrics.
All right, Chris, you ready?
I think so.
Okay. Flies are buzzing round me head, vultures circling the dead, picking up every last crumb. The big fish eat the little ones. The big fish eat the little ones. Not my problem. Give me some.
I mean, nailed it.
Right?
That was perfect.
Idiotech?
What song is it? I'm sorry?
Idiotech?
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's optimistic.
All right.
I mean, that was on him, though, right? Because Adele nailed that.
Yeah, you were fine.
Thank you. Okay.
Let's go to Mike in Riverside. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Mike, it says here that you are an HOA manager. What is that?
I am a glutton for punishment. I manage homeowners associations.
Oh, that does sound like a terrible job.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad.
Wow. All right. Let's see if we can give you some relief and send you to Radiohead. Let's spin the wheel and...
Kate Winslet,
multiple Oscar winner.
I'll never let go, Mike. I'll never let go. Remember, because that was Titanic. All right. Here we go. Oh, it's the best thing that you ever had. The best thing you ever, ever had. It's the best thing that you ever had. The best thing you have had is gone away.
Sounded like Adele.
Really? Because I felt it was very different.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Mike, what song is Kate Winslet doing there, Mike?
Oh, Karma Police.
Sorry, that was High and Dry.
It's the best thing that you ever had. The best thing you ever
had. 0 for 2, but I still don't think it's on Allie.
No, I think those were relatively easy. Mm-hmm. Julian in Los Angeles, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's see who's going to read your lyrics. And it is Emma Watson.
Oh.
Emma Watson.
All right, Julian, let's get you sorted.
You get that shit?
That's a little Harry Potter joke, right?
Thank you.
In pitch dark, I go walking in your landscape. Broken branches trip me as I speak.
All right.
How do your celebrities whisper, I've noticed?
No, she was hiding.
Okay.
Okay.
Julian, what Radiohead song, please?
Is that Fake Plastic Tree?
Sorry, that's there.
I mean, I feel like I'm nailing this.
I think so, too, but we're not getting a winner here yet.
What's the name of this game again, please?
The Wheel of Female Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities.
Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities.
All right, Kenneth and Downey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's see who it lands on. Oh, you get the Queen.
Oh, nice.
The Queen of England.
Why don't you take this one?
Great news for you.
Hello.
Hi, Your Majesty. How are you?
I am the Queen, which makes me better than you.
As a matter of fact. Are you going to read some Radiohead lyrics
for us?
Okay, let's hear those, please.
I don't care if it hurts. I want to have control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul.
Kenneth, what Radiohead song is the Queen doing for you there?
Come Creep. On! Yes! Creep!
Oh, this is it? Okay.
Wow. Well, all I'm saying is the Queen got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that? It might be on me.
Right. Chip said that was Mrs. Doubtfire.
It kind of was. All right. Kenneth is in the draw. Let's see if we get a couple more people qualified before the draw.
Jeffrey in San Francisco. Hi.
Yeah. Hello.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Good luck. Oh, it's Keira Knightley.
Oh, Keira Knightley. It's going to be very different from all the other impressions Allie's
done. Very different.
All right. This is going to be very unique.
Thank you.
Okay.
Arrest this man. He talks in maths. He buzzes like a fridge. He's like a detuned radio.
Okay, that one's Karma Police.
Karma Police is
correct.
Right,
yes.
Nicely done. All right.
We're on a roll now.
Time for one more. Let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. Hi, Mike.
What up, party people?
The Wheel of... Hang on.
It's the Wheel of...
Female British.
Celebrities. Wheel of...
Female British.
Celebrities.
And you get... Oh, Adele is back. Exciting.
Adele. These sounds like Adele lyrics. She lives with a broken man. A cracked polystyrene man. Who just crumbles and burns. He used to do surgery for girls in the 80s. But gravity... always wins.
Fake Plastic Trees?
Yes.
There you go. All right. I feel good about that. Mike, Jeffrey, Kenneth, they were all able to identify the Wheel of Female British Celebrities reading Radiohead lyrics. Only one will win tickets to see those lyrics sung on stage by the band themselves at the Shrine. Who's our winner, please?
Strangely, I have Jay.
There's no Jay.
Even in there?
There's no Jay.
Jeffrey.
Is it Jeffrey?
It's Jeffrey.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'm sorry.
Congratulations, Jeffrey. Enjoy the show.
It's the Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities. Wheel of
Female British
Celebrities.
Ladies and gentlemen, the old P himself, Petros Papadakis, joins us here on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock.
Hello, everybody. Hello to you.
In studio, everybody.
Yeah, I made the drive.
How do you like being on FM, man?
You know, it feels...
feels cool, right?
Same.
Yeah, no, it does feel different, I have to say.
It is different.
You know, you can say things that I still don't say because I'm frightened, like the D word or the P word.
Yeah, you can't
say you guys can pull the trigger on a lot of stuff.
Okay. Well, listen, Petros, the reason you're here, and we're not going to screw around, we are going to get to it in a few minutes here, is last night was the finale
of my script.
The Bachelorette. I'm very excited
out of
to hear.
I'm ready to rock and roll. It even says K-Rock Bachelor, but I'm going to bring this one over the AM too later this afternoon.
You do what you do. Right. Well, we're very excited to hear about which guy JoJo chose last night, and if there was any resolution to Jordan and the awful family situation he's got with his estranged big brother.
Somebody called him, and this is sports related, but somebody did call Jordan Rogers, I think, last night on Twitter, an asparagus, which I thought was almost the best, because he does. He looks like, or I used to, like his hair, I would call it a Pentecostal flame.
Yeah,
but that's a biblical reference that most don't grasp.
Okay.
But he does. Everybody knows asparagus.
Sure.
Okay. And he looks like an asparagus.
Yeah.
Just a small aside, also sports-related, Bean. I used to have a coach who's now a head coach in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns named Hugh Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
he was a Wolverine, too, right?
Nope, that's Hugh Jackman. Sorry.
Two swords! No, this was Hugh Jackson. And he once gave a speech in front of the team about, like, you know, smoking weed or drinking. Like, look, if you're getting high every night, why don't you try maybe five nights? And then he looked at the guys he thought were on drugs, like me, and he said, but do what you do, if that's what you do. And then he stared at me for 5 seconds and said, if that's what you do.
Wow, and he was singling you out.
I didn't smoke no weed with anybody. Get away from me.
I like that his standards were so high that he just wanted you guys, just cut it back 2 days.
It worked, man. We beat Stanford. Sorry, Bean.
That explains a lot of the recent success of the Cleveland Browns as well. All right, listen, Pete, we'll get to the Bachelorette in a few minutes. We have to talk about Yasiel. This thing that happened yesterday was crazy. Is it uncommon to text a player to tell him he won't be making a road trip because he's being demoted? That's not cool, right?
Well, probably not cool, but at the same time, you know, texting is done a lot between coaches and players, and that is, you know, let's be honest, that's how most of us are comfortable.
That's how I communicate.
Do you want to talk on the phone with your boss?
No.
Would you rather text with him?
But Kevin, when we fire Beerbog, are you isn't that a face-to-face conversation? You don't text him and say, hey, don't come in.
Well, they didn't fire him, though. You know, people get sent down all the time. Yeah, he did get demoted, and it's a blow. He handled it relatively well, but what was reported was very different. And that's the weird part about the timeline is what was interesting.
Okay. Yeah, the Rosenthal thing is what really makes yesterday a crazy day.
That what made it, otherwise, it's not really a story, you know, but it's somewhere around 3 o'clock yesterday, a story broke from Ken Rosenthal, who is not a good reporter. He is a great reporter.
Okay.
And his word is bond, you know. So if he says something, it happened. You know, Kenny doesn't make those kind of mistakes. So Kenny reports that Yasiel Puig was told he was demoted or traded, or was going to be, and he was demoted, and stormed away and didn't get on the plane.
That's
that he
the
was
first
supposed...
thing I saw was that Yasiel Puig ran away from the team.
Because that's the story.
Just bailed. You know,
that's the whole story. Okay. Because somebody got angry. Now it's no longer about who the Dodgers brought in, who anybody else brought in. The national story in baseball is Yasiel Puig storming off, which he didn't. He was never even there. So how do you storm off if you're not there? Kenny Rosenthal's reporting it from New Jersey in Secaucus at the MLB Network because they're doing all this trade stuff. So it's kind of a perfect storm of confusion.
Right.
But it's unfair to say a guy who's had issues with authority and showing up on time and stuff, Yasiel Puig, it's unfair to say he stormed off when he wasn't there, obviously. So then everybody starts going after Rosenthal. He's got to retract. Puig tweets at Rosenthal last night saying, it's okay, bro. I make mistakes, too. Hashtag Puig your friend.
I love Puig your friend. Hashtag.
Everybody loves
that.
Puig your friend. Hashtag Puig not late. But, sadly, Puig is going to be demoted. And this is a new boss. Now, you guys have gone through like 50 bosses, so it's hard to it's hard for you to relate. But usually when a new boss comes over, they fire everybody, and everybody's all freaked out. And, you know, the new bosses have tried to handle Yasiel Puig with kid gloves, but the truth is he's not produced.
He's not producing like he did in that first season. Right?
Yeah, he's just not a superstar like everybody thought. There's a lot of holes still in what he does. So he's being demoted. They tried to trade him. I don't think there was a lot of people interested.
Is that because of the amount of money he makes?
I don't think he really makes that much money. I just don't, people don't want the circus. Now, it's not like bringing Tim Tebow on your team where it's just like, oh my God, you know, now everybody's going to want to talk about this crap. But it's not totally unlike that.
Right. They had a chance to get Josh Reddick, who is better.
Josh Reddick from the A's is a better, more consistent, more of a everyday team type of guy that plays the same position and kind of a gold glove out there. So people are going to realize that this is something
right
the Dodger organization was headed towards regardless. I love Yasiel Puig. I love watching him. I like the mistakes he makes. I like what a goofball he is. You know, I love his physique. I've never seen an athlete like that. You know, he's so powerful and strong, and his story is very interesting. But the truth is, he's 25, and there's guys, you know, 20 years old in the major leagues that know how to show up every day and know how to throw it to the right guy and hit the cutoff man and you know, run the bases correctly. And
essentials.
He just never picked that up.
All right, let me just say one more thing, and then we have to take a break because we need plenty of time for the Bachelorette finale, and that is Ken Rosenthal, who, as you mentioned, is a gold standard in sports reporting. Boy, did he handle that like a pro yesterday when it turned out that his information was incorrect. He did not try to explain it away. He just went on and said, I blew it. I apologize. I'm wrong. Here's the complete retracted story. And he really took it like a man, which
I
thought was nice.
I agree, but there is more there. like who, because it was so egregious. So somebody has it out for Puig.
Yeah.
One of his sources is a bad source. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole Oliver Stone trail that we could follow here. You know, there's a grassy knoll here that I'm interested in, but nobody else seems
no,
to.
No, I am too. I wonder how does a mistake like that get made from a guy who's so reliable?
Is Yasiel Puig, was he there? Was it a Puig's twin? Is there a shadow Puig?
I like it. I like all of those options.
Spy versus spy Puig.
Wouldn't your whole world just collapse if Yasiel Puig was the new Bachelor? Wouldn't that just be the greatest thing in the world for you, P?
Yeah, only if they did it in Havana. And everybody had to, like, eat out of, like, a can, you know, and drive like an old souped-up Packard. That's the kind of bet. If they did it in Havana with, like, a commie theme, and everybody had to wear, like, military fatigues, there's your Bachelor right there.
And all right.
Just make it austere, like, no more graphics, no more anything, you know, just come in from break, live from Havana. That's how we do it.
P is
and
here.
Replace Harrison with Raul Castro.
Last night was the finale of this latest season of The Bachelorette. We'll break it all down for you next right after this on K-Rock.
The off-air Petra show would be the highest rated show in the history of radio.
And it would get canceled the same day.
And it would get canceled. That's right. True.
All right, you guys. Go to Greece, I could leave, finally.
Last night was the finale of this season of ABC's The Bachelorette. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves The Bachelorette. Yeah. With Petra's Papa Dacus always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets.
But I do at home.
It's the report on The Bachelorette.
I forgot.
Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman not included because he's on vacation. But the P is here. How was it? Was it a satisfying 3 hours in front of ABC last night?
Kevin watched.
I did.
How was it, Kevin?
Terrible. But it went from this is awesome mm-hmm. to this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
And it happens quick.
To this is awesome. The moments of awesome are pretty few and far between, though.
It's like dating a sorority girl. You know, it's awesome sometimes when she's naked, but all the rest of the time,
it's tedious.
And you're listening to her and her friends talk. Oh my God, you guys, let's go to the big chill. Sorry.
Now, right. I sense that you have not been enamored of JoJo this season.
She sucks.
And really didn't care who she chose last
night. Ralph would fight you on that.
I'll take it a step further. She sucks the big one.
Is that right?
Yeah, ooh, yeah. Wow. She's the worst, man. Wow. She's fake. Her face. Did you see the sister last night, Kevin?
Yeah.
That's how she's supposed to look. That's what JoJo is supposed to look like. But some butcher carved her face up like that dirty dancing abortion doctor. Just did her dirty. And she's got fake boobs. Fake. At least she showed some cleavage last night, finally. I was worried that she was a Quaker. All right, so who's left, right? There's two guys left.
Two guys left.
Jordan Rogers, plastic, torch-headed ex-Vanderbilt quarterback.
Right.
Okay.
Said former pro quarterback.
Yeah, I played a practice squad a couple years.
Okay.
I mean, you know, he was a quarterback in college, started at an SEC team. You got to give him that.
Okay.
Wildly tight clothes, along with his brother and parents, has a mysterious feud with another famous brother, the NFL's own.
Aaron Rodgers.
Often discussed off air.
Right.
Sure.
Seems fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you feel that way.
Who? He does?
Or yeah, Jordan Rodgers.
Yeah.
He seems like
phony.
Like a Ken doll.
Yeah, definitely.
Not in it for the right reason. And then you have Robbie, bearded ex-swimmer from Florida, Cupid doll sewn on hair look, very emotional, mama's boy, evil ex-girlfriend spreading rumors.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That hooked up with Chad while the season was airing.
Oh, God.
More on that in The Bachelor in Paradise.
I trusted him so much less. To really? Me, he was just so over the top and was writing letters and giving gifts.
Too mushy, too early.
Way too much.
Very tight clothes.
Very, very.
Now, before we play the clips, just really quick, here's my platform. And it'll be quick, Bean.
Your platform.
Okay.
JoJo is someone who wanted to be famous in the first place.
Okay.
To go on The Bachelor as a contestant, you have a thirst that is desert-ass thirsty.
Right.
And then she's willing to be The Bachelorette. You know, and be in the tabloids and make out on TV and moan and wrap your legs around multiple guys on multiple days. She wants to be famous. I got nothing against that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put somebody on a show who's relatively famous, you know, this guy works for the SEC Network, Jordan Rogers, his brother's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. He was a starting quarterback in college. She's going to pick the famous family. She's too thirsty not to.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
That was my thought. She was picking Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That's what she was doing last night.
Just like that thirsty lawyer, Andy, who ended up picking Aaron Murray, who was a marginal, good college quarterback, but whatever. ended up picking his older brother because he was a because she was from Georgia and the guy was a Georgia quarterback. The thirst is too real for these girls that want to be on TV. Of course they're going to pick the guy who's relatively famous, and there's some weird quarterback thing anyway, and it sucks.
All so right. JoJo picks the guy maybe she doesn't even like because she hopes to meet his brother at the wedding.
She picks the guy that she might not even like because she thinks she's going to live a jet-setting NFL luxury box champagne and caviar dreams lifestyle. That's why.
All right.
To the clips. JoJo's mother is beat.
Yes.
It's like somebody took a blowtorch to her face. It's like...
What?
It's Fireburn Barbie.
We all remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now... There was a moment in the movie where the Nazis, they should have looked away like Chicago, but they looked to the Ark and they melted.
Their faces melted.
It looks like just one split second into the melting is what JoJo's face, JoJo's mother's face looks like. And what do you think JoJo's going to look like? What do you think she's going to look like? She's going to look like the Toxic Avenger, just like this. And not only is she been reconstructed, but, you know, you got to take pain medication after all those surgeries.
Right.
You tell me if this doesn't sound like a medicated woman.
When Jordan first walks in, I admired the way he talks, the way he engaged himself with us. He came across as really genuine, and then he really cares for JoJo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really gentleman.
Yeah.
I just don't think English is her first language.
Yeah. I think that's what it sounds like to me, too.
She grabbed a bottle of liquor last season and took it to the neck.
Oh. Okay.
She's,
okay.
Took it to the neck.
She's been through the wars.
She didn't even make it to her mouth?
It all goes to the neck. Okay, so then they have the other guy meets the family, and now the family with the two creepy brothers from last season, for those of you that are diehards and remember, they're all sitting in a semicircle in Thailand, the land of sanctioned sex, talking about which guy she should choose. And there's a lot of confusion and a lot of tears. But here's the truth from JoJo. Now, you're going to hear this very clearly, Allie, where JoJo says, you know, I like Robbie because he's nice and sweet, but what about the life? It's waiting for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Listen, she reveals her thirst.
I'm so stressed out right now. And it's like I can't even imagine making a decision. I just know that, like, if I ended up with Jordan, and if things ever did get tough and it didn't work out, I'd always regret not going for Robbie. And then I feel like if I went with Robbie... I always wonder, like, what if this other life, what if that was a life that I was meant for?
I
don't know.
The good life!
It hurt once.
Aaron.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, Jordan is an ex-quarterback. Isn't his life probably just working at a Home Depot or something now?
SEC Network, man.
Oh,
he's going to be calling Florida versus Western Kentucky at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. You don't know what that life is like, I'll tell you. It is lush. Ah, the lush life. Speaking of that, Neil Lane shows up. Rings are given out to both guys.
Yeah, I fast-forwarded through that. Yeah, that was like a 15-minute commercial for that guy.
And Neil Lane gets a lot of love. Yeah. And she went back and forth with Jordan Rodgers.
I don't know.
My parents for permission? The other guy did. Well, I didn't know if there was another guy. If I should have. But I don't know if you love me, but I do love you. Just reassurance, jockeying for position, just horrible tears, indecision. And then finally, you know... Right, like 20 minutes before the episode's over, you always know because the first guy that shows up, even though he's the only one that doesn't know it, is walk like the little girl in Game of Thrones before they burned her. Everybody knew she was going to burn but her. And that's how it works on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Everybody knew Robbie was and Beard was going to burn. And here he is. Here's the emotional goodbye to ex-professional swimmer, now pool salesman, Robbie from Florida.
I promise I'll love you till the day I die.
Robbie, hold on. I can't let you get down on me.
Okay, so he's trying to propose to her, and she's stopping him.
He was about to crook down.
Yeah.
And she had
said,
to stop
him.
But see, the producers tell you, like, you know, hey, let him talk for a minute. They do.
And milk it.
Yeah, because he comes in with, like, a speech.
I can't let you do that. I can't let you do that because I don't want to take that moment from you. Robbie, I woke up this morning wanting it to be you.
Every day I've been wanting it to be you.
I feel pretty good if I'm Jordan Rogers.
I fell in love with you. But for some reason, my heart is somewhere else.
Wait,
in
what?
Green Bay.
That makes sense.
The whole episode was her going back and forth and back and forth, and she loves both of them. How does she choose? That was the whole episode.
But if she wants it to be him, make it so.
Yeah, it's her choice.
What?
Her heart is someplace else.
But she just said she loves him and she wants it to be him.
She wanted.
But what
both.
About the life, Allie? What about the life?
Yeah, her heart is somewhere else on a private jet headed to Gainesville.
Oh, God.
Private jet to Lexington.
So she kicks him to the curb and she picks
choosing Rogers. Aaron Rodgers' phony baloney brother right now.
Jordan, I love you so much. I've been waiting to tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I didn't want you to get down on one knee until you do that.
You didn't stop me.
I know, but I wanted you to know how.
A lot of slobber.
Well.
No.
A lot of tongue.
No. This is happening.
Yeah. It's real. It's been real. I love you so much. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Joelle Hannah Fletcher. Will you marry me?
Yes. Oh, my God. I
love you. Give me that hand.
Yes.
Give me that hand.
Oh. F*** you.
Now, P, they met 8 weeks ago, right?
Yes, maybe about 3 months, shoot, I don't
but
know.
On the show, yeah. I mean, it hadn't been more than a couple of months.
All right,
yeah. Is it real love or is it TV love?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
Because I watched last night for the first time. In the After the Rose special.
After the final rose.
Whatever. They were talking about how many problems they... Oh, it's been a rough road. We've had a really hard time.
Yeah, because of the tabloids.
Yeah, the tabloids have been printing stories, and we've been unable to hang out together, so it's been really tough.
It's
and we've
hard
had some,
on them.
And Chris kept asking them, like, okay, and how bad did it get? Well, you know, we thought about... They're already broken up.
Oh, it's over already.
By that point, they were broken up for... 2 weeks.
It'll be over by the time the SEC regular season starts. after the non-conference
you
game.
You agree, right? When they were talking about their relationship, their body language, they were far apart.
They just both want to be famous.
Yep.
She wants to be on Dancing with Stars. He's going to call football games. They're going to show up in Us Weekly for the next few years, and good for them.
In our final 30 seconds, because we really are out of time, and God love you and God bless you for being, thank you. Should we care about the BIP starting tonight?
I mean, I can come in tomorrow and do it.
Well, that's not necessary.
I got to go down to San Diego Chargers camp tomorrow, but I can come in. I mean, Chad is there and the one-arm girl.
I got
to
tell you.
The girl with one arm. And you know the producers, how they work her. You know what they say to her. Well, they sent you home. You think it's because you only got the one arm? And then she starts crying and goes, I've always been different. I mean, they're going to kill. I mean, it's going to be a real exploitation.
Pete, here's what I'm going to tell you, is that The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, they try to make it about love, even though it isn't at all. Bachelor in Paradise is just freak central. It's you take the worst, craziest nut jobs on the show, and you put them all
and
together.
Chad.
And Chad, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can do it.
I'm in.
I got it in me.
I'm in.
It's kind of the summer of Petros, though. You know, you got to ask yourself how much Petros is too much.
I'm at about my limit, seriously. The Petros and Money Show airs this afternoon again from 3 to 7 on AM 570. Let's hear it for the old Pete. Thanks for coming by.
Yes.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette. Ow!
And it is 7:54.
I'm all worn out from Petros, man. He's an exhausting dude. Hey, next hour, comedian, author, TV host Dave Holmes joins us in studio, and actor Sean Hattasy at 9 as well from Animal Kingdom. First, though, Allie McKay's in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
This is just kind of bizarre. You know when there's a name or a face to a brand, like a celebrity has a company, you want that celebrity's face to sell the product, right?
Right, yes.
It becomes synonymous with the brand.
Right.
Well, that's a problem now for Gwyneth Paltrow. She says she's moving away from her Goop brand because she thinks her name and association with it is holding it back from becoming a brand of its own. The New York Post reports that she told a crowd in Chicago, "My dream is that one day no one will remember that I have anything to do with it."
What?
What?
She's the one that made it so...
Goopy.
Horrible.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Like, she thinks if my name isn't associated with it, you'll buy that brick oven outside for $8,000. Like, it just, it doesn't make sense.
It's a website with tips for super rich people.
Super rich people.
So I don't know how that's going to make it on its own.
I don't know. I just thought that was very interesting because the point of having your own brand is that's you.
Right. I give you Kim Kardashian and all of her many businesses.
And I reject it.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, sir. We talked about the rebooting or reimagining of the movie Splash a couple hours ago. Well, what about this reboot in the works? This time, L.A. Law, which originally ran from 1986 to 1994 on NBC. Stephen Boschko, who created the original series, tells Daily Variety that he talked to one of the other original writers and they've come up with an idea for a new show that will be on Fox. So it's a reboot of L.A. Law. Were you an L.A. Law fan, Bean?
Yeah, it was fine. I think I watched it. But aren't there, look, any show about the legal system that's good, you know, people will watch.
Yeah.
There's never a shortage of those on the air, that's for sure.
Right.
There's certain topics, police, you know, hospitals.
Hospitals,
if they
for
make
sure.
a good show about those topics, that's great.
Yeah, whether they true. Call it L.A. Law or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, good news for us because we love the show American Crime. We now found out that the upcoming third season will take place in North Carolina and deal with labor issues. But the great news is that the cast is coming back. Lily Taylor, Felicity Huffman, Timothy Hutton, Richard Cabral, and Regina King have all signed on. They are back for the upcoming third season.
It's kind of neat that they do things with the cast of American Crime or American Horror Story where they have a recurring cast mm-hmm. with different roles every year. I like that.
For sure. And that show is it's
so great.
Phenomenal. Just so deep and so layered. It's amazing.
Bit of a downer.
I mean, it's not an uplifting Wow, really? You think a little clown horn would help you out?
What doesn't that help?
You're right.
It's a good point.
I'm instantly happy.
I'm sorry your son was murdered, but how about this? How about if I made a balloon animal for you?
Why did you have that up?
I don't know.
Why was it just sitting there?
I was ready.
Oh, you're a gift. I've got some sad news for you guys. Pauly D and Aubrey O'Day.
Oh, don't say it.
Yeah, they've called it quits after 9 months. Yeah, nine months of togetherness.
This is a colossal disaster.
It truly is. See, it's better.
It's better
it's
already.
Better. The Jersey Shore, it says here stud. I know. He broke up with the singer last weekend, and it sounds serious because he's deleted all of his photos of them together from social media. However, she is not aware of it yet.
Oh.
Because she's sequestered inside the Celebrity Big Brother house.
Wow, that's a time
How
to cut
awful
and run.
Is that? Wow. What a dick. Right? And again, better.
Rides away on a unicycle.
It says here, for more details
juggling
about their kinky sex life
what
and his intimate piercings, check out tonight's episode of Famously Single. Apparently, that's the show where they met on because they're both famously single, and they found love. But again, calling it quits after 9 months of being together.
Makes everything better.
It really does. Some new releases on DVD today. Keanu is out, starring Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key.
That's a funny movie.
It's adorable and wonderful, and it's got a cute little kitty. A movie that I absolutely loved, which I don't think you would, Kevin, but you should still see it. The Lobster with Colin Farrell. It's phenomenal.
I remember that.
Where you go to this hotel, and then you pick an animal that you're going to be for the rest of your life when you die. I'm not making it sound great.
Write that down.
But it was.
The Lobster.
It was really good. Also, movies like The Bronze, Laser Team, Meet the Blacks, Puerto Ricans in Paris, Careful What You Wish For, Manhattan Night, The Trust, Traded, and Viral, all out on DVD. Have you heard of any of those?
No, we paid
not
relatively
one,
close
right?
attention. No.
Nope.
Bean?
Are we supposed to guess which one is the fake one? Because I think Puerto Ricans in Paris is not
no,
real.
That is actually a real movie starring Luis Guzman and Edgar Garcia.
Okay.
No. Did you say it's a Kanye song?
No?
No.
All right.
Oh,
all these stars for today, August the 2nd. Mary Louise Parker is 52. Sam Worthington is 40. Actor Edward Furlong is 39. And UFC fighter Nick Diaz is 33. Oh, and director Kevin Smith is 46. Oh. I should lead with that one. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Talk to Dave Holmes, former MTV VJ and comedian and actor and radio personality, coming up about his new book in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. I'm still laughing about Petros talking to us about the way it went down with Yasiel Puig yesterday. Can you even imagine what that's like? Kevin, you were just saying off the air, you finally make it to the major leagues.
Yeah.
And then you get a text that says, not so much with you.
And sort of in the middle of the season, I mean, I know that he probably knew the deadline was, what, yesterday at 1 p.m.?
Right.
But sort of in the middle of the season and just before they get on a plane.
Yes.
It just seems so heartless.
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing about trades in the middle of a season is that literally
in all sports,
you could be playing for one team and then the next night you're living in another city wearing a different uniform playing for a different team. Well, Yasiel Puig, right fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, is going to be playing for the Oklahoma City AAA club as a result of the word he got yesterday. And we feel bad for Yasiel about the way he had to find out, but we thought we'd check in with him and find out what it was like for him on that crazy day. Hi, Yasiel.
Hey, Yasiel
Puig. Wow, you sound pretty upbeat considering the last 24 hours.
Hey, you know, I said life is for the living, man. Life is for the living. I got to keep upbeat, you know. Like, all things considered, it's like I live my life. I want to play baseball. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do since I was a little boy, you know, in Cuba. But, like, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm happy, you know. I'm happy I have airplane and car and lots of vagina. So, you know, life is good, man.
Right. Well, there is that. Yasiel Puig, indeed. So, tell us your point. So you get a text yesterday. What does it say, and what do you think, Yasiel?
I get a text yesterday. It's from my doctor. It says, Yasiel, come back in. We have something to talk about. I need you to take this medicine because
of
the bumps.
No.
We don't want to get into that.
Don't tell anybody. Not that text.
That's not the right.
Don't tell the media because those bumps can be very embarrassing.
No. Yasiel, we don't need to hear about that. That's not what we're talking about. The text you got from the club, from the Dodgers.
Oh, Yasiel Puig. Okay, the Dodgers, they text me and they say, hey, Yasiel Puig, you know how you play for Los Angeles Dodgers? And I say, yeah, you know, Los Angeles Dodgers, that's my baseball team. They say, no more.
No.
That's a tough way to find out.
It's heartless.
I know. It reminds me when I was a little boy. You know, I was 7 years old. I come back from the sugar field where I work 75 hours a day in Cuba. And I come back home to, I say, I'm going to play catch with my papa. I love my papa so much. And I come home to play catch with my papa. And they're like, oh, hey, you know your dad? I say, yeah, I know. I love my papa. They're like, oh, yeah. Castro came over and beheaded him and made him in a scarecrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a sad story. But I don't know what that has to do with what we were talking about.
You know, it's like finding out bad news.
Oh, bad surprise.
Oh,
bad
news. Right. Yeah. I remember that time, you know, like it reminded me when I was a little boy in Cuba. I was 3 years old. I go to visit my grandma, and they're like, uh-oh, she has lupus. She's dead.
Oh. Well, that's okay. Bad surprise.
I look on bright side. You know, that's what I always do. Look on the bright side
right.
of life. I made her into a baseball mitt.
Oh, Yasiel.
So you're saying yesterday's...
I took her bones and I made it into a raft, and that's how I came to America.
Okay, so you were able to turn lemons into lemonade then.
Yasiel Puig, your friend.
Yeah, Puig, your friend, right. All right, so Yasiel, what do you think? Look, obviously the reason they're sending you down is because they don't feel you have producing as well as you have been producing as well as you were in that first season. What's going on with your game where you're not playing as well, hitting as many home runs, fielding as well, running as well, all the rest?
I went to Tony Robbins, and I said, what's going on? And he said, focus on what's really important to you, Yasiel Puig.
Mm-hmm.
Yasiel Puig! And I said, Tony Robbins, what's important to me is to make sure I'm happy and give a positive feedback on life.
Mm-hmm.
And so baseball is the best thing in the world, but it's not most important to me. Most important to Yasiel Puig is being a good human being.
Oh, that's
nice to hear.
Wow,
that's a very grown-up sentiment.
I live with Southern California. I've left 5 women in traction. Just dominate them. In the
okay,
oh,
again.
Seal.
All right, we didn't know.
Hashtag.
Now, Oklahoma City. Have you been there? Have you ever been there?
Not that I remember.
Yeah, okay. All right, good.
So I know, maybe I've been there like 1,000 times.
That's the great thing about being a Yasiel Puig, is there are a lot of surprises in your life.
It's like being a little boy. You never know.
That's right.
Right.
Well, Yasiel, you've been a lot of fun to watch as a Dodger. You're only 25 years old. It's possible you'll make it back up to the big leagues, and I hope we get a chance to see you play for L.A. again.
When I come back up into the big leagues, mm-hmm. it's going to be the Puig of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
You're ready,
that's,
man.
That's not good.
I'll take that back.
Okay.
You go right to hell. Do you think Eric Andre always posts naked pictures on Instagram?
He thinks we are obsessed with his junk as much as he is, and we're just not. We're fine without ever seeing it.
I don't think he thinks we're obsessed with it. I think he just likes to torture us with it.
Mm-hmm. Why? A better question would be, why do you continue to follow Eric Andre on Instagram?
He's pretty funny.
I got no time for that.
Hey, a surprise.
Dave Holmes, comedian, former MTV VJ, radio personality, actor. He does it all. He's going to be joining us very shortly here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But in the meantime, I'm glad we have time because I wanted to share this story with you anyway. Kevin, you probably get pulled over by the cops a lot. I mean, there's
How
a reason.
How dare you?
There's a reason you get that letter from the state every year that informs you that you're one of the worst drivers in California.
Right, but they do that in comedy to be funny, right, because I'm the opposite of that.
When you get pulled over by a cop, how often, I'll throw this out to the room, how often do you guys know what it is you're being pulled over for?
Every time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Really? In other words, you know you're speeding or you know just made an illegal U-turn or something like that.
I don't think I've ever been pulled over where I was really baffled why.
Because sometimes, you know, there's a light out in the, in the back of your car and you don't know it or something like that. Well, here's a story that made the news, and this has been the summer of videos of police officers and motorists. This one you may not have heard about yet. It happened in Halifax, not Canada, but Virginia. And they pulled this black driver over. This is a white cop pulling a black driver over. She doesn't know why. You're going to be stunned when you hear why he pulled her over. And I'm dying to know what you guys think about this.
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Officer Warner with Halifax Police Department. Are you aware of why I pulled you over today?
No.
Are you familiar with vehicle code 1739? Well, it's actually against...
Okay. You know why I pulled you over? Are you familiar with the vehicle code? This woman is terrified, by the way. What are you thinking if you're her right now?
Well, she said no, and then she said no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you could hear that fear right there.
And who can blame her, right?
Yeah.
You get pulled over by the cops, you don't know why. All right. The police officer is going to explain why he's pulling her over.
Well, it's actually against the law to drive on a hot day without an ice cream cone.
It's against the law to drive on a hot day without an ice cream cone.
That's not a cop, is it?
That is a cop.
That's not a cop, is what I'm saying.
And he and his partner hand ice cream cones to the lady driving the car and her passenger. She can't believe it.
On behalf of the Halifax Police Department, we're just making sure that everybody's following all the laws today and are driving with ice cream cones. Like I said, I'm Officer Warner. This is Chief of Police Lance here in Halifax. We just wanted to make sure you guys were in compliance.
Okay. Now that you've seen it, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief that this isn't going to end up
in
the news.
See, that's the thing, is I can't tell if she's just happy to be alive.
Right.
Because isn't that a little bit annoying to give you a heart attack?
That was my next question, is although the police officer's intention is 100% positive, is it cool to do that, to put somebody through that ringer, even if only for a few seconds about being pulled over by the cops? Is it worth it? What do you guys think?
Here's my take on that. Don't walk up and ask if she knows why she was pulled over and vehicle code whatever, whatever. Because that's like, I don't know.
That's setting the table.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, maybe walk up and say, I just pulled you over today because it's hot and whatever. Just get it out there so that she doesn't freak out.
But I think they wanted that reaction. Well, that's the thing.
I think so, too.
But that's not cool.
And let me ask you this. And again, this is in Halifax,
although
Virginia.
I do like ice cream.
So for me, as someone lactose intolerant, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, how about a burrito? You got a burrito? Seriously.
So that's like a guy coming at you with a weapon if he's got an ice cream cone, right?
You don't want that, sir. Yep.
I do wonder, and I don't know where Halifax is. That's not a city in Virginia I'm familiar with. Maybe it's a small town and people are not in a hurry. But I feel like if they tried this in Southern California, people would be so pissed to be pulled over and held up for 2 minutes when they've got places to be.
Come on.
Don't
really?
You?
No.
You know, I
you
can't tell.
Irritated people get.
Yeah, you're already irritated when you're in traffic.
When you're on the road.
So I can't tell.
But then
it depends.
You wasted 2 minutes and you've got a delectable treat and a great story.
You do have ice cream, though. That is the end of it, is yeah. You do have ice cream. So anyway, that's all it was. It was just public relations for them. But I thought it was interesting, and I'm so glad that no one involved pulled a gun. This should be fun. I can't believe it's the first time we are welcoming Dave Holmes into the studio here at K-Rock on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, author, TV host, radio personality, former MTV VJ. Let's hear it for Dave.
Hi,
hey, Dave.
Everybody.
How are you, man?
I'm great.
How are you? Doing great. Dave has a new book out in stores about a few weeks now called Party of One, a memoir in 21 songs. Yeah. And I want to talk about that. But I will say to start with that I think it's so interesting that when you were on TV at the height of MTV's power and peak,
right,
in front of millions of viewers, you were so soft and doughy and
you can
dumpy.
Say fat. You can round that up to fat if you want to.
And now that you're writing and on the radio, you're super hot and hunky. Like, aww. I feel like you did that backwards, sir.
I kinda did. I should have had a larger plan, but I really didn't.
But I felt it made you relatable back then.
Thanks.
Yes. Right now I'm like, he's a stud, I can't.
Stop it.
I want you to leave.
Okay,
Dave.
Now you're pushing it.
Okay.
But you know, honestly, like, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that I was huge when I was like in my 20s and on TV. I think I would have been a real jerk.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
If you had TV plus been good looking, you would have been too much for you.
That would have been too much. Plus, like, you know, in my young single gay days, if I had like abs, forget it.
Right?
I'd never make it to work. No.
I was a little bit concerned near the end of your book, Party of One, where you discover CrossFit, because we've never met anyone who's into CrossFit that we can tolerate. Are you going to be cool?
I'm going to try to be cool. Here's the deal. I am in that world, but not of that world.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I do it. It's done right. It's done right by me. I like it. I finish my class. I get the hell out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to sit on a rower and talk about Donald Trump.
Okay. What is it about those in the CrossFit lifestyle, though, that makes them so insufferable?
I think it's the same thing that makes anybody insufferable. It's just like, oh, finally a team that'll have me. You know what I mean? Like,
and
I've
then
been a weirdo
about
my whole
it too
life.
Much, too much, too much.
Way too much. Yeah. And look, we all have nice shoulders, and let's take our shirts off. And, you know what I mean? It's really gross. But okay. I do love it. I do love it. For myself.
All right. What made
Have you tried
you-
it?
God,
oh,
no.
God, no.
It looks hard, Dave.
Yeah,
why would
hard.
We try it?
It is hard.
I did it once, puked 30 minutes into it, never went back.
Yeah.
That's
Good
the
night.
Kind of dedication.
Common story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Common story.
Kind of dedication.
Yeah. Heard that one before.
Yeah.
Dave, what was it that made you think, and I mean this is a sincere question, I'm not being snarky, in 2016 that somebody would want to read a book by Dave Holmes?
I know, it's weird, right? I actually say in the book, like, in a year we're all going to, like, tell our stories through, like, gifts of... You know, Clarissa explains it all, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
And emojis. But yeah, I like telling stories. I like doing it on stage. I like doing it on the page. I've been doing stuff for Vulture and Esquire and stuff for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, you know, let's get these down. While there's still such a thing as a bookstore, let's get in it. You
right.
know?
Well, is that hard remembering stuff?
No. I've always kept journals.
You have.
I wish I have.
Yeah. I wish I have. We've been through so much stuff here, and people bring stuff up, and we go, no idea.
Oh, but there's still a lot of stuff that I've forgotten. Like, they just had that, like, TRL decade thing on MTV Classic yesterday, and there were moments on it that I was a part of that I was like, huh.
I don't remember that.
I guess that was me. I guess that was, like, actually me doing that thing with Jay-Z that I have
yourself.
No recollection of whatsoever. But I have, you know, I've kept some fairly decent journals. Plus, now, music, it, like, really is, that's my sense.
Yeah.
Like, for some people, it's a smell. For me, it's sound.
Yeah.
What like, song, I hear a song and I'm back.
What song takes you back most to your MTV years?
Oh, man. Probably Closing Time from Semisonic.
Really?
That started, or The Way from Fastball, because that was right when I first started. And it was, like, just before the teen pop thing happened.
Uh-huh.
So there was still sort of, like, an alternative rock thing going on. Like, those were the last two alternative singles that were huge, if you remember.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Right,
and,
right.
And I was just so happy and blissful because I was, you know, I was about to start my new life and it was summertime and it was just like everything was great. And yeah, I hear those songs and I'm immediately in a Chandler Bing shirt that's two sizes too big and some cargo shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
some
we're still in those.
Shoes.
Dave's book is really good, you guys. Again, it's called Party One. I read it on Sunday and it has twin themes to it. And both of them are really interesting stories. One of which is you talk so much about pop culture and how important it's been in your whole life from the time
time you were a little kid. And a lot of people may not remember your story. They know, hey, he was that VJ guy.
Right.
But they don't know that you had a Wall Street job and you just showed up at a blind audition with hundreds of other people to win a contest to be on TV.
Yeah.
And the fact that you still have media jobs 20 years later is amazing.
Oh, thanks. You know, and honestly, if I sucked like 10% less at that regular job, I'd probably still be doing it. But I was terrible at it, and I hated it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need a break. I need to just do something new.
But what a weird
thing to do.
Yeah, what a weird stretch from what you were doing to what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a long ways.
Yeah, it seemed like such a goofy thing to do. I didn't tell any of my friends about it. I was just like, I'm not
going
to do it.
You just assumed you'd go try it and it would fail and you'd move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, when I got home, there was an email from my best friend from high school who worked in 1515 at some other thing. And he was like, Dave, there's a long line of people trying out to be a VJ. That seems like the kind of thing you would do. Whatever you do, don't do. Like, the potential for embarrassment is just too high. This seems like the kind of thing that you would get yourself into. Don't. Our friendship has never really recovered.
But you weren't at all nervous about being on television in front of millions of people. That was never a problem for you, because I would think that would kill most people, even if they could be good at it. You're not good at it at the beginning.
Today, it would kill me. Like, I look back and I can't believe. Yeah, I mean, like, now I've been at it long enough, and like, I'm calm enough to know what is going to make me nervous.
Right.
Back then, I think I was in shock. I think it was like a blow to the head. You know what I mean? Like, you know how the strange calm that comes over you after you're in a car accident?
Yeah.
And you're able to, like, get insurance info and all that stuff. And then you're like, wait a minute, that was really scary. What just
happened. You fall apart hours later. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. For me, I fell apart, like, 8 years later. Yeah, I was just, like, mentally in shock. I think I was too in shock and dumb to be nervous.
The stories you tell about the MTV Beach House and about the crazy stuff that happened when you guys were working there, it sounded like a nonstop party working there.
It really was. It really was. I mean, it was all, you know, we were all around the same age. Basically, everyone was single. Everybody was obsessed with the same things. And we had kind of all found each other and found this incredible job. And it was, you know, and we got to travel all over the world and be with, like, people who we, you know, who we liked. We got to, you know, hang out with bands and stuff. It was incredible. Like, it was.
Did you date any
really
celebrities
nice...
back then, Dave?
Did I date any celebrities?
Mm-hmm. You know, like, you look back at Carson, he parlayed his TRL into Tara Reid and, you know, some others.
Yeah. No, he definitely took advantage. That sounds bad. no, you know, I didn't. I really didn't.
That's a missed opportunity,
really,
my friend.
Well, there weren't any. I don't know that there were any, like, out gay celebrities back then.
Right.
I think my options would have been Lance Bass and, like, Mario Cantone. And it didn't work out.
All right. The other, I said there were twin themes in the book. One is the whole pop culture thing, which is so fascinating that I know a lot of our audience is really going to enjoy. And the other thing is what you just alluded to, which was you were in the closet for a long, long time.
Right.
What's it like for you looking at kids who are, you know, 13, 14, 15 in 2016? Are you so jealous how much easier it is, or am I dead wrong about that?
There's a part of me that's jealous, but there's also a part of me that thinks you're going to grow up so boring. You know what I mean? Like, if you're 13,
because they didn't have it hard enough.
No struggle.
It wasn't like life wasn't harsh to them. You know, they felt good about themselves forever. And that's great. I'm very happy for you.
How is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing, but it does create a dull person.
Yeah, it shapes you when you are up against things and you have to triumph. Of course you're going to have better stories.
Yeah.
If you're like, everybody loved me and everyone was so accepting, F you.
Get out of here.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, then you peak in high school.
Right.
You know, like all the dullest people in the world. So, I mean, life was, there were elements of my life that were hard and that were, you know, scary and that were alienating and isolating and whatever, but that made me who I am.
Were you able to have relationships during that time?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, like, out of the closet from college on. I just wasn't, like, publicly out on TV. Again, because I was fat. Like, there was no...
That's the only reason.
Yeah. Like, the gay... I mean, because back then, you needed the press to, like, help you tell your story. There was no Twitter to be on and just hey, I'm gay or whatever. But I would, like, show up with mail dates to things. But it was, like, if you're fat and gay in the 90s, you have, like, the invisibility cloak, the Harry Potter cloak on you. Like, people just don't notice.
That's a bummer.
They just don't notice.
Even if you show up to things with guys.
Even if you smooch.
But
on
you were
a red
on TV.
Yeah.
You were on MTV.
Yeah.
So no one threatened to say anything?
No.
Or it just seems like it would have been a...
No, they just didn't care.
Yeah,
I was just
how it should be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know that it's still a struggle for some kids. I know that it's never going to be easy because there are always going to be people who are immature or uneducated on the subject. So there's always going to be some people that you're going to have to, you know, win over. But in general now, don't you feel like somebody comes out and it's like, okay, good luck with, big deal. You know, and please enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, which is the way it ought to be.
I do. But I also think the more people that do it, the better, because, you know, it's still like if you're 13 and gay now, like it's you're still kind of expected to be vivacious. You know, and fabulous, and snap and say girlfriend and go shopping, whatever. Like, there's still a very narrow definition of what it is to be a gay boy, especially.
Yeah.
So the more people from more different walks of life and more different attitudes and whatever, then it's like the more 13-year-olds can see you and be like, ah, okay, I get that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that. That's a place where I can fit.
That's one of the things I really enjoyed about your book, Dave. I mean, if the purpose of a book is to put yourself in somebody's shoes who lives a different life from yours so that you understand it better, you nailed that for me. Because even the stories exactly related to what you're just saying, there were times where Dave would show up to audition for a job where they were looking for a gay person.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the right kind of gay.
Yeah.
Which is just insane.
That's rough.
Yeah, I get told that a lot. Like, for a panel show, it'll be like, well, you know, for the gay seat, we need somebody really gay. It's like,
I'm not gay enough? That's what you're saying?
Listen, what do I have to show you?
I think you know.
Tell folks what you're doing now besides being a best-selling author.
Being a medium-selling author. And I'm an editor-at-large now for Esquire. So I sound off.
That's fancy magazine time.
I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. So they let me run my mouth about the
you get to
state
pick whatever.
Of the world. Yeah, pretty much.
You wrote one of the most beautiful things about letting go of your dog, Junior.
Thanks.
It's something I go back to often, just to deal with loss and that kind of thing.
Thank you very much.
Talking about his dog, Junior, that he had and when it was time to say goodbye.
Thanks.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have you read Lily and the Octopus? Yet?
I have.
Oh, boy. I just tore through it in a day, and I can't.
No.
Did a book club just break out?
Yeah. Pardon me?
It did.
A book club just broke out.
Everybody read Lily and the Octopus and my book.
You read it in a day.
Yeah. I tore it. I wanted to get it over with. It's about a sick dog. You know what's going to happen. I host a live show at Chris Hardwick's Theater. At Meltdown on Sunset.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, it's every month. Do you know Scott Gimple from The Walking Dead?
Yes.
He is a good friend of mine from way back. We've performed together for years and years. We have a show called The Friday 40, which is it's 40 questions about the events of the last 7 days while we all drink 40s of beer.
I like it.
It's fun. The next one is, I believe, August 12th. Friday, August 12th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're also a host on Sirius XM.
I'm a host
as well?
On Sirius, yeah, on the Spectrum, giving you all the Mumford you can handle on Saturday night with a dash of Hosier.
I'm on the Spectrum too, but I think yours sounds like more fun.
Yeah, I think I agree. And then I host a podcast called International Waters, which is like a panel show where half the panel is with me in LA and half the panel is in London.
Okay, so Dave Holmes has a lot going on, by the way. It's DaveHolmesParty.com on Twitter, at Dave Holmes. And the book is really, really good, you guys. It's called Party of One, a memoir in 21 songs. I definitely recommend you check it out. Dave, great to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, our friend Sean Hannessy is in the next room, you guys.
Yes!
From TV's Animal Kingdom.
Oh, there's only two episodes left.
I love it so much.
Can't wait.
What's going to happen?
Well, we'll find out tonight.
With the heist.
I know, but we'll find out tonight.
Maybe he'll tell us, though. Don't you want to know before?
I think I'm okay to wait till tonight.
I think I'm dying to know before, but I don't want to know before.
I want to know.
We will talk to Sean coming up right after 9. First in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alex.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but Joe Rogan, his contract was up with the UFC, and he really, really contemplated leaving. Like, leaving full.
I didn't know that.
Not just stay and do a few fights here and there. Just full-blown, I'm out, no more UFC calling. Which is kind of shocking when you
think... That would have been very sad to lose Joe, because he adds so much to those broadcasts.
Yeah, and he's been doing it, what, like almost 20 years calling fights?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He's so good at it, it would be an awful loss. But thankfully, he's decided what he's going to do is he's going to stick with the UFC, but only do North American pay-per-views. Because he said one of the biggest struggles for him were those international flights, and his body would just be wrecked, and he'd be so exhausted, take him a few days to recover every single time they did one of those fights. And then not to mention all the Fox fights as well.
Right.
He tours the country doing his comedies, got his podcast, leaves very little time for Joe.
Whoa! Whoa! Oh, man! Oh, man! Oh, man!
some of his quality work right there.
It is actually quoted here in the article. So, so don't worry. He is staying with the UFC. He's going to continue, but he will only be doing the North American pay-per-view, which
he's trying to get some of that Vin Scully schedule where you only have to do three innings on games that are this side of Denver.
I love it.
Well, let's be honest. If anyone's earned it,
yeah.
I think Joe Rogan would definitely be it. If you're just waking up to the news of your favorite movie, Splash, being reimagined, I've got all the details for you. That was the 1984 sleeper hit. Daryl Hannah played a mermaid. Tom Hanks was the human that tried to make him love her, tried to make her love him.
Right.
Words are hard. And it kind of is the thing that propelled Imagine Partners Ron Howard and Brian Grazer to the forefront. Well, here's what they're going to do, because I said a reimagining. They're going to switch it up. Channing Tatum is going to take the role that Hannah played. So he is going to be a merman. And the woman that's trying to gain his love and trust, Jillian Bell, she'll be playing the role of Tom Hanks.
Okay.
What? That sounds unnecessary.
Do you think? Or could it be really funny and interesting?
It could be really funny and interesting.
I'm in.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Bean?
I mean, it has to be good. It doesn't work just because they're flipping the sex roles. It has to be good.
But they have great chemistry with 22 Jump Street. I think they're really good together.
Yeah, I think so too.
Plus, Jillian Bell's the one that pitched this, so I think on her shoulders it'll be a good thing.
I'm in.
All right, cool. Well, I'll see it together. No? Okay. Big week for Jared Leto. Suicide Squad opens on Friday, and yesterday his band 30 Seconds to Mars hinted that new music is on the way. There's a 40-second clip on Instagram with hashtag Mars is coming. So if you've been waiting for new music from 30 Seconds to Mars, it appears that it's coming. And if you're a Killers fan like me, they released their second album, Sandstown, 10 years ago, and now they want to celebrate with you. They're going to remaster and re-release it on a 2-LP vinyl set with two bonus tracks. That's a demo of Peace of Mind and the Pet Shop Boys remix of Read My Mind. And they're going to do a 2-day concert event in Las Vegas on September 30th and October 1st at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall, which Kevin mentioned earlier. Favorite place?
I mean, it's not where you want to stay.
Okay.
If you're there. Maybe you go there and see the Killers. Yes.
See the show. Uh-huh. Go back to where you're staying.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
That's my advice.
Bean, you want to come down for that?
I don't think that's necessary. Okay. Nothing against the Killers. It's just that now I know you'll be there.
That's hurtful.
Wow.
But expected. All of these stars were born today, August the 2nd. We've got Edward Furlong turning 39, UFC fighter Nick Diaz, 33, actor Sam Worthington, 40, and director Kevin Smith. Happy birthday. He is 46 years old. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
It's that guy from that show, you guys.
It is.
It's Pope.
Give me a little of that Animal Kingdom theme song, would you please? One of our very favorite shows, TNT, Tuesday nights at 9, is called Animal Kingdom. I don't know what to do with you if you're not watching this show. You're no friend of ours. Sean Hattasey, one of the stars, and he joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Sean!
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations on the phenomenal success of Season 1. How early in its run did you guys get renewed for Season 2? Wasn't it like after the first episode or something?
It was somewhere around the fifth episode.
Okay.
Yeah, which is unique for TNT because they generally wait. So it was nice.
I feel like most shows have to wait and wait and wait and wait, and then they sort of hear.
It's really an anomaly to be on a successful show.
You've had your struggles in the past.
I have. I was on a show called Southland that got canceled.
We love that show so much.
One of the best shows ever. Ever.
That got canceled every season, didn't it, Sean?
It was like canceled before it was aired, and then Jay Leno came in and did some weird thing and moved to 10 o'clock, and we got bumped. It's thrilling to be on a show that is both creatively satisfying and people are also enjoying it.
You're a creepy dude.
Yeah.
Where do you look, I know you're an actor and you play all sorts of different roles, but where do you go when you play Pope?
You know, the cool thing about all of these characters is they're so layered and deep, and they all have a different point of view.
Yeah.
But for Pope, he's wildly unpredictable. But I also think that he's the most emotional Cody brother.
Sure.
And the most fiercely loyal. And where do I go? I don't know. You know, it's a joy to be able to portray a character that has so many different levels. Because often, you know, we have to play characters that say the same thing over and over again on a TV show.
But you seem like you bring that unpredictability to it. Even though you don't do that much that's unpredictable, it's any second it could happen.
That's my favorite thing about him. Yeah. In the pilot episode, he's leering at Jay's young girlfriend.
Oh, right.
He picks her up while she's passed out, you know, on a weed high or something.
We had a bad feeling about where that scene was going. I gotta be honest, Sean.
Yeah, right. He carries her, like, carefully into a bedroom and lays her down. He's been in prison for 3 years.
Yeah.
He stares at her. He fixes her hair. And you don't know whether he's gonna, you know... Well, I mean... Ali, you might know.
There are a lot of options, and they're all bad.
Yeah, it's not good what was going to happen, but nothing happened.
But that's my
you
thing.
You just stared creepily, and that was it.
Exactly.
It was terrifying.
And yes.
And there's no dialogue in that scene. And when you can create a character like that with very little dialogue or none, it's pretty easy.
Is it more difficult with less dialogue?
Not for me. I don't know if I'm just weird. Maybe I'm just quirky by nature.
Oh, you are weird. There's no question about that.
It comes really easily to me. I was looking at my wife the other day from across the CVS, and she was like, "You're looking at me like Pope."
Oh, no.
She needs to stop watching the show.
I know.
This is a story, and we've talked about it a lot. We've had guests on from the show, and everybody knows by now we love Animal Kingdom. This is a family unit that is as tight as a family can be. But they all seem so desperately unhappy.
And they're not tight at all.
No, they're not. They all
I
are
feel like they are.
I mean, it's both.
They're doing their own things.
There's that brotherhood loyalty, yes. though. You know what I mean?
But and they, is there? There is, I think, with Pope.
I think there
but
is.
I think he's the only one that truly cares. Maybe Craig.
Yeah, this kind of dialogue really excites me. Like, when you guys are talking about it like this, I'm thrilled because it's complicated. You know?
I feel like you're brothers that might kill each other any second.
Oh, they would. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes down to it, when they have to band together, they're going to protect the family.
Right.
But within the family, because they want to climb that ladder in the hierarchy, they will cut each other to be the apple of Smurf's eye.
Yeah.
And Smurf is played by Ellen Barkin. She's the mom, and she's in charge of the whole group.
Yes.
Which she is the biological mom of you, Craig, and Darren.
And Julia.
And Julia, obviously. Your twin who is dead, who's right. Jay's mom.
Exactly.
Here's my question.
Yes.
I think it was
yes,
maybe.
We sound crazy. If you're not watching the show, we sound like idiots.
I will put a family tree together so that we can.
Thank you.
I feel like it was episode 2 where you were welcomed into Smurf's bed. And then that was the end of the episode. We have not revisited that. What is happening with you and your mother?
This is going to sound super creepy, but she seems to be having sex with all of the family. It's possible.
Well, listen, when Smurf, she uses her sexuality to get what she
wants. With her sons.
Exactly. But I think she goes as close to the line as possible and has never crossed.
Why are you trying to make it sound creepy, Kevin?
Yeah. It's beautiful what she's doing.
Really, it's their mom. Though.
But having said that, I mean, when Smurf is the example, it creates people like Pope. You know what I mean? That the sense of confusion and odd behavior when it comes to, especially given that he had a twin sister that he may potentially have wished that he could have bedded.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, this is all interpretation here, guys. This is a fun show on Tuesday nights at 9
that's
TNT.
What we mean. Yeah.
At least your half, well, not even real blood brother, Baz, did bed your twin sister and possibly is Jay's father. And he also has a whole separate family other than his actual family. You guys are so screwed up.
We are really weird. And just
so screwed
and don't
up.
Forget that, you know, Pope has
Pope
been in
has
prison
his eye.
For 3 years and he's been
on Baz's wife.
Pretending that Baz is his wife and that Lena, the beautiful young 6-year-old girl, is his daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Drew, let's bring Dr. Drew in.
So much.
We need some help.
No, we need Corolla to talk about this.
Yeah, I think so. And by the way, my heart just breaks for the life that Jay was born into and the direction that his, you know, the rest of his family is dragging him. I just want Child Protective Services just to show up one day and go, you, out of here. You can still be saved. You don't have to do these things these bad people are making you do.
Well.
Yes. And weirdly, given all of that, Pope seems to be the most stable one in Jay's life, and that is really,
scary.
Tragic.
We are talking to actor Sean Hattisey here on the Kevin Amin Show about Animal Kingdom Tuesday nights at 9 on TNT. You filmed down in Oceanside for reals, or is that just where it's set?
Yeah, it's well, we shoot at Warner Brothers. They built that house there at the ranch, and then we'll do some sort of location stuff for in and around town. And then halfway through the season, we go to Oceanside and do a week. And then at the very, you know, for pickups for the first five episodes. And then at the end of the season, we do a week.
Where's the military base? Is that real?
We used a location in San Pedro for that. Where's Ralph?
He's on vacation. He's on vacation. He's on vacation.
Like, what do I have to, like, if I were JoJo from The Bachelor, he would have skipped.
Okay.
He would have skipped vacation.
And last time he was on. Ralph was on vacation.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Like, is it
you?
Is it me?
I
might be.
Honestly, I don't know. Might be.
Or if I was the guy.
I don't think so. I think this was planned long before you were booked on this show to come in.
But if I were JoJo, he would be here.
Oh, yeah. He would be here for JoJo.
Okay, cool.
Probably. I love that you know that, Sean. All right. Let's take a quick break. More questions with our guest, Sean Hattisey from Animal Kingdom on TNT Tuesday nights at 9 when we return right after this on K-Rock.
So then, after the heist tonight, then do you?
We now join the regular scheduled program. Already in progress.
We've been just going nonstop. I'm exhausted from all the questions.
Sean Hattisey is here from TV's Animal Kingdom Tuesday nights at 9.
What about
Ali demanding answers, Sean? In your opinion, and you've been on a lot of TV shows that a lot of people have questioned you about, do people really want to know when they ask you what's going to happen, or do they enjoy waiting and finding out when the show airs?
I think they enjoy waiting. In fact, my wife was reading the episodes as we were going early, and then at a certain point, she checked out, and I didn't want to reveal anything because so much is coming, you know, through that,
right.
That it's a joy to find out on Tuesday night. You know?
I think I described the show after the first episode as it will make your butthole pucker, but you like it.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I wouldn't
describe that on the poster.
Right?
I wouldn't describe it quite that way.
Because it's so tense and you never actually let it go. Even after the show is done, you're like, what just happened?
Yes. Can I quote you on that?
I'd rather you didn't.
Done. Do it. It's
TNT
yours.
Will run that.
It is yours.
I think that's a Ben, like a Ben Robson Craig shot, like just his butt. And then Ali
I'm
says,
listening.
Butthole.
Yeah.
Sean, why do you think. Maybe this is a dumb question, but these people are so unlikable, but people still root for them. What is it about the anti-hero that gets us suckered in where even though they're bad people and they ought to be in jail or worse, we still want to see them succeed?
Now, your whole family, you're robbers, you're thieves.
It's so true. And we were kind of admonished in the press early for having unlikable characters. But you look at the great TV that's happening, you know, Dexter and Breaking Bad and Mad Men. All these people are really morally corrupt characters,
that's
but
true.
We do. You end up rooting for them.
You're rooting for them. Yeah, like the heist tonight. I mean, I so desperately want those a-holes to all get caught and arrested and spend the rest of their lives in jail, but I sure want them to get away with it.
I mean, there's so much buildup, and you know, we've been planning this heist, and I'm so excited for you guys to see tonight's episode.
Because you said, your character said, you're not going back to jail no matter what.
I'm not going back to jail.
So if it goes south...
Oh.
You're going to come out fired.
Oh, listen. I'm going to leave my phone number. And then after you watch it tonight,
all right.
If you guys need somebody to talk you through it.
I think we might.
We might take you up on that.
It's a. Now, I can't talk about it because they said they will cut off my balls if I reveal anything.
That's not good.
That's aggressive.
So, now, in the trailer for tonight's episode, it looks like Ellen Barkin's character, your mom, Smurf, is just winding you up and sending you out like a pit bull. It looks like you're being sicked on people. I mean, it's intense.
It's intense. And I think that goes back to the question of why do we root for them? And it's, you know, Pope has been, he's a consequence. He's a result of Smurf's parenting. And so you can't help, even though he's so disturbing and creepy at times, you can't help but feel bad for him because you see how she's programming him them, and she plays them all against each other.
Yeah, it's not all the kids' fault. If that's how they're raised, that's all they know. I'm glad you brought up, Kevin, the point about how Pope cannot go back to jail, because we pulled a scene from last week's episode. This is going to be an idea of the intensity and how goddamn great Sean Hattisey is on the show Animal Kingdom. Listen to this. He's talking about what it was like for him in prison and how he just refuses to return there.
Hilty, the worst. Put me in solitary, chained me naked to a chair, kept the lights on, music blasting, no sleep. And then he'd take me back onto the block, parade me around, covered in and just when I'd think it was over, he pulled me back in there. Are you sure Paul is solid? Because once we're on the base, if something goes wrong, you can't just bail. And I'm not going back inside, man. I'm not going back in there.
Oh, I got this. I promise.
Yeah, you're going out in a blaze of gunfire before you're going to get arrested and sent back to jail.
Oh, my God. We see the heist unfold tonight in a manner that is, John Wells wrote this episode. And Chris Chulak, who is one of our executive producers and directed like 60% of the Southlands, directed it. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. We can talk about it tomorrow if you want.
People that see you in a role like this ever recognize you but not know from where and they sort of are afraid of you? You know what I mean?
I totally
play a scary dude with a scary stare and do they see you on the street and go, I don't know why I don't like you, but I don't.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes people will. It's still new, the Animal Kingdom experience. I definitely was getting a lot of recognition for especially in LA for Sammy in Southland,
right.
Especially by cops.
Yeah, you never got a traffic ticket.
Never got a traffic ticket. But now people are looking at me. Some people are like, I love that show. I love that show. But often people will think they know you from school or something. Like, did we go to high school together?
Yeah, they're confused by. Where to place you?
Yeah,
right.
It's a weird thing. Sometimes the best way to approach that as a fan is to just maybe not say anything.
Do they come up to you and make you list ways that they might know you?
That is the worst. And then you're like, no, yeah, I was on. And then you look at the person, you try to judge by the way they look, what movie they might have seen,
right?
Like,
TV show, right?
If they're a pothead, you're like, Outside Providence, and then they're like, no, not that. And then you're going through your list, and then you feel bad about yourself at the end of it
because they go, no, it's not that
exactly.
Either.
Exactly.
So worst. Don't say anything.
Right. Maybe no, that's the best approach.
Okay.
All right. We're almost out of time. Okay. Two episodes left, and then you got to tell us when do you come back? When is Animal Kingdom back on next season?
Well, that's still being discussed, but okay. I'm hearing really, really good news about that, which I can't
talk about.
So
we're not going to have to wait a year.
Okay, but hopefully
I don't
soon.
Think you're going to have to. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. But
well, so. We're allowed to say we don't want to wait a year.
I don't think it's fair that you should. You guys have put in the time.
Yeah. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is about us. Thank you.
That's the new TNT, too. They are rewarding the fans. They're looking at this. No, I'm serious.
That's great because
they're looking at it in a whole new way.
No commercial, very few commercials during the show. I don't know if you've noticed it. It feels like so much bang for your buck.
Totally. Yeah, they're giving, you know, they set out to do something and do, you know, make different kinds of TV shows that they haven't made in the past. And they've come through on that.
Yeah, it's really working out. And folks, if you're frustrated because you're hearing us talk about the show and you haven't seen it yet, you can catch up. All the episodes are on demand. You know, you can go back to the beginning and watch. Yeah. Yeah. Catch up and then you can be part of the fun. Animal Kingdom, Tuesday nights at 9 on TNT. Sean, we've loved you forever, man. It's so great to have you back in on the show and in the studio. And I'm sorry, Ralph H. I'm sorry that relationship didn't blossom.
Maybe if I was Jordan Rogers from The Bachelor,
right? Maybe then he'd care enough to come in and be with you. But thank you, Sean. We appreciate you stopping by.
I mean, what do you mean, yes? You can't celebrate. That wasn't good. So good. It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:42. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph is not here today because he didn't want to run into that dick Sean Hattasy, apparently. But in the meantime, here's Allie filling in on the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Hey, you guys. We have a new host for the Golden Globes in 2017.
All right.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Chip, don't you have the answer?
I think it's going to be Ricky Gervais.
Nope.
Isil Puig.
He'd be great.
Isil Puig.
He would be great. Nope.
Hi, it's Kip Kapilski here.
No.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Well, yeah, we went over that, lady. It is not a
host of... I'm Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell.
That'd be good.
He'd be delightful. Mm-hmm. It is not Ricky Gervais, nor is it Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
It is not them.
Victor Fuentes.
Oh, I wish.
Jesus.
No, that would be it.
Hi, I'm Conan O'Brien.
Oh, you're Johnny getting asshole. Close.
Getting close?
You're closer.
Barack Obama.
I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Okay.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Oh. Second best Jimmy in late night?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, we don't have to watch that show.
So that's something that was just announced. Kevin, I was not aware of basketball player Draymond Green.
Yes.
Who plays for, who is it, Golden State?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors.
I was not aware of what he Snapchatted the other day, but take me through this.
He Snapchatted his penis.
Like you do.
Okay.
Like you do.
That's the reason Snapchat exists. Let's all remember before we start being judgy.
And then he posted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said hacked to explain it away that somebody else got his password and put up a picture of his penis.
Huh.
And then he says, sorry, I hit the wrong button. It was a mistake.
And you were saying it takes a few steps to actually post something on
Snapchat? Well, I think it at least takes two.
Okay.
You have to take the picture and then either send it to somebody or post it to your story. So it's at least two, but Dave came in and said it's possible. It's possible to hit the wrong button if you have everything sending to your story. It's possible.
Okay. Well, upside of all of this is Vivid Entertainment honcho Steve Hirsch has reached out to Draymond Green. And he says, quote, here's the deal. We will give you $100,000 to star in a porn called Drayzilla. You call all the shots. You pick your co-stars and set up the scene however you want. I mean, not a bad deal until you realize this guy makes like upwards of $15 million a year. That's nothing, right?
You know what's funny is that no one cares that he Snapchatted a picture of his penis, really. I mean, it's just it's an embarrassing social media faux pas, but it doesn't really affect anyone, including him, right?
He'll get ribbed small, a little bit. Yeah, but I don't think he had any issues with that
picture. He'll get ribbed a little bit by his friends and teammates and stuff, but it's not like it affects his job or anything like that. There's no real repercussion from something like that.
I don't think so.
This is what I'm saying. It's just, it's hilarious that we live in a world where everyone sees your penis and everybody goes, so?
That was deep. But that's how we are nowadays.
Right.
So, I'm with you. Something that people aren't saying so much to is our new Miss Teen USA, Carly Hay. She won the title on Saturday, and then people started checking through her Twitter account. A lot of N-bombs dropped in several tweets to her friends between 2013 and 2014, and now her Twitter has become private. She claims she's not the person that she used to be. A year ago.
Wait, how old is
dropping
she?
Dropping N-bombs. She's Miss Teen USA. 16, 17? Maybe 18? I could look that up, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're up for something like a huge job or something like Miss Teen USA, you want to make sure you've got your ducks in a row, right? You at least have a team of people working with you. Maybe scan the social media. See if there's N-bombs
dropped.
You
don't even need a team. You could just go back through your Twitter
account.
Search
your name and the N-word. And when all those tweets come up, delete them.
She can't be surprised that they were there.
Yeah, well, here's what Miss Teen USA, the Miss Universe organization who owns that parent company, said after they found out. It's unacceptable at any age and in no way reflects the values of the Miss Universe organization. She will keep her crown. And as Carly stated, she was in a different place in her life and made a serious mistake she regrets and for which she sincerely apologizes.
Come on, that was her in January. That's not her today.
She's done some changing, you guys. She didn't mean it. And Bean, you were saying a lot of hullabaloo, if you will, about this because the top five, every single woman up there, every single teen, blonde-haired, blue-eyes, white girl. So it was very, very white.
I don't feel like that's representative of the Republic of Texas.
What?
What? Five white girls is not representative of the entire state, is what I'm saying.
But it's Miss Teen USA. This wasn't Miss Texas.
Oh, I thought it was just...
So it's even worse. It's not representative of the U.S.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, that has got to show, I think, some sort of judging bias or something, right? Or some sort of very narrow definition of beauty among the people who chose those finalists.
Right? Blondes are gross.
Right?
All of these stars were born today, August the 2nd. Actress Mary Louise Parker is 52. Director Kevin Smith is 46. Sam Worthington is 40. Edward Furlong, 39. And UFC fighter Nick Diaz is turning 33 today. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman, walking the show this beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home on K-Rock today, starting at 5 p.m. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have The Bachelor in Paradise report. That starts tonight.
Really?
Yeah. We have Steve-O in studio. Love Steve-O. And we have radio and tickets for you to see them at the Shrine as well. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.